Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
You receive the atomic boot to the ass.
Thud. Oh boy, that sounded bad.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Ha ha! Ha 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 ha!
Hey, 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 King Shaziz the Turtle. Oh,
to fill the terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
It's old King Shazuz the Terrible. Getting a call right here. Yeehaw! It's old King Shazuz the Terrible, and I rule with an iron fist. So with that said, happy Mother's Day to all the ladies in this side of the world, and happy late Mother's Day to those who's already passed that time zone. Anyway, moms are great, man. Love y'all. But, if I have a crash over here, don't panic. I'll be back up in less than 2 minutes. I got a sacrificial computer online to hopefully use as bait for those who might want to tamper with my radio show. So let's just see how that goes. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I know we got Ryan and Cultist and Thomas in here. And who else we got?
Jonathan.
Jonathan, how's it going?
Pretty good.
So, did y'all say something nice to your mamas today, or your stepmamas, or any mamas, any ladies out there, or your sisters that might have daughters or kids, or, you know?
Or your wife?
Yeah, your wife. Yeah, I got to remind me that as soon as I get off of here to make sure, yeah, I make my wife happy for Mother's Day.
Exactly.
Yeah, so remind me to not forget. As I'm getting beat up. Yeah, the queen might get ruthless.
I don't think my mother's up yet.
Well, throw some flowers up in there when she walks out the door. She'll see them flowers before she comes out.
No, I'd have to teleport myself about an hour and a half away as the car would drive.
Surely there's some dandelions and wild flowers outside could grab up real quick.
There is. I've got my grandmother's birthday was a couple days ago, so we had a birthday, and then we had Mother's Day, and then we have got my mother-in-law, my mother, my wife, grandmother, my grandmother-in-law.
Wow, there's a whole lot of mamas in your family.
Yeah, man.
That's a whole lot of dandelions. When you grab them dandelions and wildflowers up, make sure they ain't loaded with ants, because I did that once. I made my mama May basket one time, and it had a whole bunch of wild flowers in there, and I gave it to her, and it's just crawling with ants. I didn't know it. But she said, thank you, son.
So you were combining April Fool's with Mother's Day. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that wasn't the only ant episode that I had in my life. There was this family that used to live right straight across the street, and they had a father who was kind of on the heavy drinking side, and so he's wasted all his money on booze instead of, taking care of the kids for Christmas. And so I went down in the woods. I was like probably, I don't know, maybe 10 or 11 years old. I went way down in the woods, and I cut down this little nifty-looking Christmas tree. You know, it's like an evergreen. And I dragged that probably about a mile and a half back up to the house there, you know, and I brought it up to the front door and gave it to him. So, look, I got you a Christmas tree. And so they went and they set it all up, and they had the lights and everything on it. And I didn't know, but apparently evergreen trees are good ant nest. So when that thing started thawing out, you know, and the ants started waking up because it's getting warm, they started crawling up out of that tree there. Well, you know, the next thing I know, the tree's sitting out in the front yard. I said, what's going on? You don't like the trees? It's full of ants. So thought was good, but, you know, the road to disaster is paved by good intentions.
Exactly. Or the U.S. government.
Oh, yeah, they do that. They do that real well. I don't necessarily think they got really...
I was going to say, what are you talking about? That's the same thing, isn't it?
I don't think they necessarily got good intentions.
No, it's good intentions that people basically hire them in for... They just don't realize that they're going to get a bunch of... When you concentrate power like that, you're going to get a bunch of psychopaths.
Well, maybe we should...
It's like honey to bears, you know?
Maybe we should take them a Christmas tree full of ants.
Yeah.
What do you think? Give them a May basket full of ants?
Yeah, I think that's still... I'm too much effort there.
I'm just saying.
Let's just get rid of...
They do something to him and send him back to us.
Probably.
Yeah. Let's just get rid of the concentration of power. Is my view.
I agree. We would have
concentrated power, man.
When those ants come back, they'd be like little drones, man. They'd have little spy cameras on them be all genetically modified. They'd be giving you that crooked eye and looking at you. You know, like, you know, I'm gonna fix and eat you, brother. Oh,
that makes
man.
Me wonder who all seen it was a time travel show not too long ago, and they were going on and on about they basically had little ant sized and fly sized spy cameras.
Oh wow, man.
Their portal. It was all a government of course ran thing, so.
Oh yeah, I've seen that where they've taken insects and basically re-engineering the insect, making a little robot out of the insect and flying around in little swarms. Basically the same thing they do with the drone helicopters, where you get four or five of them and they all act together as one, and you can throw they'll hold a blanket, you can throw a ball, they'll catch it and then flip the blanket back and throw the ball back to you.
Wow.
Anyway, they they just take the same stuff, shrink it down really, really small, and I'm sure they use it. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure Navy SEALs and these guys, they've got a handful.
There's
to throw
one,
up.
One issue with that idea, dude, and that's the fact that it takes technology that goes way beyond what we can actually build with the atoms. Once you get down to 4 atoms width of silicon, any CPU you build with that will be unstable. It can't run.
Man.
There will be electrons leaking through the silicon, which is supposed to be its insulator. So you'll get a bunch of garbage.
Whoa.
So it won't work.
Hey,
won't work.
Somebody add Dublin to the call. He's trying to call me.
Yeah, call.
Any of y'all ever been down to Florida?
Yeah,
they got killer ants down there, man. I fell in an ant hill one time out on a roofing site. Boy, those things tear you
not
up.
That, not that bad compared to Texas.
Oh, Texas got bigger ants.
They got ants. They got ants. You got to call, sir.
Oh man, I heard everything was bigger in Texas. If I go down there, I better get me some larger boots for their ants.
Scott says
the biggest thing is scorpions.
God.
Yeah. Well, big scorpions, though, usually aren't very dangerous. They're painful, but they're not poisonous. It's the little ones
that you got to worry about.
The little ones,
yeah.
I haven't seen them yet. That. I'm glad.
Yeah, I'll say little, and the lighter they are, the more dangerous they are. The dark ones are usually not. Like brown ones or black ones, they're usually pretty safe. Black ones are actually pretty docile. You can play with those. People buy them and keep them as pets.
Well, those red ones in Florida, they'll leave like a pimple on your arm when they bite.
Yeah. You can solve that, though, with the plantain. It's a little plant that has long tendrils that stick out the top with seeds on it.
Yeah.
Little round leaves down close to the ground. You can crush them up and rub them on any kind of ant bite or sting or whatever, and it'll neutralize the poison and cause the swelling and the pain to go away.
You know, that might be a source of funding. We all should get together and write a book about all these different little ideas that you can throw in there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How-to everything book. we can't put how-to for dummies because that's already been done.
Yeah, well, it depends on what the how-to is on. If you do it on something they haven't done yet, you could probably get them to finance publishing it and advertising it for you.
Cool.
They'll do it all for us because, you know, there's money to be made in it. So
it's a thought. Anytime
there's money to be made in it, you can get people to work on something.
It's a thought because we got a whole lot of ideas from a whole lot of different directions that some of which I ain't heard before, and heck, man, put all of them together in one compiled dictionary style, you know, reference book, you know. You get bit by an ant, go rub your face on this plant here and you'll feel fine, that kind of deal. Who else we got in here?
Terry's here.
Hey, Terry, how's it going, brother?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Come just a hair closer to the mic.
I think I'm talking into it.
There you go.
You got to turn it up then. Go into Skype and see if you can crank it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Turn off the auto setting because it might be turning you down because you're too close to it.
Yeah, we can hear you fine, but I don't know how the other people can hear you.
Right. People on the air might not be able to hear you very well.
So, anyway, who all we got in here now?
Still me.
Dublin is here.
Dublin's here. We got Mitko, I see. We got Thomas. We got Terry. We got Cultus. And there's another one or two in there that I see that...
I'm still here.
Yeah, Mr. Tesseract is here.
My spy droid.
And we got Ryan.
Doing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Ryan just changed his picture from that nice woodland forest picture that he had.
Sorry,
guys. The Tesla gun, just that'll be on. I'll have to have that on there for a couple days. I'll switch it up. But anyway, that's just, it's fun, and
I don't know. I wish it were a better picture of it, man. It looks like a like you ran a spike through a caramel pumpkin or something.
Yeah, it's funny. I've got better. It's weird when you go to you go and you start trying to change the picture on that, and it actually changes the size of the picture to fit it in the little circle. So I'll try to get a better one. Heck, I'll get on there and change it.
What's around the outside on that?
It's a top load. Top load down on the center. It's funny.
Okay.
I've got some videos of a. That's just a like a destructive, loud, obnoxious. I don't know if I'd even call it. It's a Tesla coil, but it's everything happens on the inside of it. So it was fun. Like I said, it's an art part of it. You know, why not? I haven't you know, go out in the front yard, find the kid's super soaker, take it into the house, and
Have you done any work and found any like process that uses low power but does like you know it basically pockmarks anything that it arcs on like metal? Because that might be useful for an EDM for like, you know electro machining, you know.
Yeah, I mean it can. You're talking about spot welding with a low voltage or with a.
No. EDM uses the similar process, but it's so much potential that instead of welding things, it just blows it away, and you run water over it, so it basically carries all the stuff that's blown away, yeah, and it makes it possible to machine things that you can't machine with normal, like, end mills and stuff like that, like tungsten carbide. You can cut through that like butter with that. Huh.
Well, you can get down to some seriously precise measurements there.
Huh. Yep.
I'll have to look into that.
Most die steels, they use that. So they run a wire through there, and they run a hook through there. So they run so much power through it that basically as the wire passes by it, it burns away any metal that it comes up against.
I could see how that would work.
Right, that way you just basically cut a hole that's just a tiny bit bigger than that wire. So if you run some thin wire through there, you can slice through metal pretty quickly and get a nice clean cut.
Oh, you're talking. Okay, now I see what you're saying. Yeah, almost the same thing as a wire. When I used to work at a place back when I was a kid that built rock climbing harnesses, you know. And when we dealt with the nylon, we always had to cut it basically on that big hot wire. This is a big hot wire. We ran it through. So you're almost talking about something like that that cuts metal like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can see like a really high. A nice filament, something really strong. So, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's interesting, really.
All right, so anybody got any new projects they're working on or anything you need to bring to the table, anything like that?
I wanted to bring up a topic how it seems like when anybody around where I live tries to convert their house over to solar or just get off the grid, I don't know if it's the same way where any of you guys are at, but it seems like the county or the town will come in and force them to have their house inspected, all the wiring and all this stuff, and a lot of times they find something wrong and say, oh, well, you can't do it, then you've got to turn this off. And to be honest, that's actually happening to a lady where I live, basically. And it's just insane. I mean, telling somebody that you can't get off the grid. You know, and that's pretty much. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out and see if any of you guys heard anything about that.
That's a good topic there because you know I'm saying you gotta figure out ways by which to hide it. Like, do they allow swimming pools in that neighborhood? You know, so if you put up a swimming pool and you take the base of that swimming pool down at the bottom and put some real thick Lexan glass that won't turn yellow after the sun beats on it for a while at the bottom. You know, for your actual platform that you'd stand on, you could use that swimming pool for like a refractory type of, you know, solar panel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
exactly. So, actually, Chazzy's, we have the same problem here in Spain. They want to tax the solar power.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
It's not even they want to tax the solar power. Yeah, no, it's not. What it is, they want to tax any alternative power. So if you, for example, tomorrow made a Tesla machine that made energy from nothing and you put it into your house, I'd say it was like a small shoebox sized thing that you could easily hide away. Well, you want to disconnect yourself from the grid. They'll say no, you have to feed the power into the grid and then you have to buy it back. And then that way they know how much power you're producing. And then they'll charge you, in Spain, they'll charge you 9 cents a kilowatt, which is cheaper than the grid.
So
the grid here is usually 20 cents.
What you're saying is they're literally selling you back your own free energy?
Yeah, the logic they use is they say, we have to supply the electricity to your house whether you use it or don't use it. So if you cut yourself off from the grid, we've spent X million dollars feeding all this electricity around to all the different houses. And the logic is that it's a bit like you ride a bicycle and you don't use petrol stations, and yet they insist that you pay so much for the amount of petrol that you don't use.
Or you would have used.
Yeah. It's really weird logic. Now, the thing is, if you haven't signed the contract, well then, it's got nothing to do with you. But that's how they catch you out. I mean, they say, we're coming to inspect your house, right? Now, then you've given them jurisdiction because you've now let them into your house to look at your wiring, and then for them to say, no, it's not suitable, they've gained jurisdiction. Where in Ireland, with our sovereign movement, we basically say, I haven't signed your contract, you can take a hike. You know what I mean?
All right, well, then it's all going to come down to hiding it, right? Now, have you guys ever seen, like, in some of the third world countries, they'll take these soda bottles and they'll fill them up with, like, either alcohol or mineral oil, and they'll stick it through the roof of the shed, and then the sun will beat down on the outside, and then basically that light will get transferred through, and it's like, you know, free lighting, essentially.
Actually, no, they just fill them with water. Clear bottle of water and like a cap full of bleach to keep anything from growing in there, and they seal it up.
Okay,
the water creates a refraction, so basically it's like basically putting a solid glass, like a block there,
like sunport, like a sunport, but then it magnifies the. Yeah, that's weird. I want to say one more thing about the solar thing, and everybody else can talk. They even have another loophole here. Or a way to get to people that way. Okay, let's say you own a house, and actually I have, you know, this is what's happened. You have a house, the power shut off for 2 years here. It's a 2 year, you know, that's the cutoff. Well, once it's been off for 2 years, the whole house has to be inspected and up to code, to the codes at the moment, for the power company to come in and turn the power back on.
Man.
So I technically have between 25 and 3,000 square foot house sitting on the property that the power cannot be turned back on because they want all the decks repaired, all these things up to code from when this house was built almost 25 years ago.
What's the decks got to do with the power?
It has. Now that's what I'm saying. So really, think about this. Somebody goes, gets off the grid. They've disconnected from the electric company. They've done it for 2 years. And let's say, something messes up and they got to get back on for some reason or whatever. They can't get back on, and their house is basically just sitting there, and they have all this work to do, and they have to pay all these inspectors and to come up every time to inspect and pay all this stuff just to get it back to where the codes are now, and then they'll come in and turn your power on after they charge you more fees for everything else the power company will charge. So they've got, I mean, I tell you what, they call it a cooperative where I'm at, a power cooperative. I just don't see it. And Dublin's right. The way he was just describing pumping it back in, that's the way they do it here. You can create it. You have to put it into their system. Then they sell it back to you. And that's, I mean, it's crazy.
Well, I'll tell you one thing for sure, man. They ain't doing that at my shack, because if they tell me they got to come in and do this and that, and I'm telling them they can take a hike down the, you know what, But I'll put it down in my basement and pipe in the sunlight for my solar panels. I don't care. I'll run everything on 12 volt.
it's just so bad that they're pushing, you know, it seems like they're pushing this agenda, but really behind the scenes, it's like, no, they're not. This is all just, once again, just a show to keep everybody distracted.
Well, it's a red flag to me, man. If you talk about see, we had this conversation many times on the Knights of the Round Table and even on the Mad Science show about doggone people getting on the mainstream media and they're all crying about global warming and climate change, and now it's climate disruption. Now they've changed it again. So we went from global warming. Well, first we got to back up because way back in the day they said it was going to be an ice age. Then they said it was going to be global warming. Then they said it was climate change. Then they're saying that it is a global weather disruption. It's okay, whatever. They get on there and they cry and piss and moan about the whole dang situation. Talk about how we got to reduce our carbon footprint. Then guys like us out there and other people who want to try to save some money start working on alternative energy, but then they still got to get some money up out of the deal. And keep in mind, not one time during this whole process of them yelling about this so-called global warming have they ever done anything towards any advancement to get us off the power grid so we ain't burning coal and that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, no, they claim they're doing work like that by basically throwing a bunch of money at companies that waste it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, see, you know, the whole concept of global warming and everything, if you can't destroy nature, nature is going to adapt. We're just screwing ourselves over, we're just messing ourselves over, and it, you know, so that we can't live in nature. But you know, cockroaches, other survivors, that they'll live in nature, they'll keep surviving. We'll just have changed nature to where it's, you know, not habitable for us.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, though, they're claiming that we're causing this massive change by putting all this carbon in the air, and the fact is, cow farts amount to more than all the cars on the planet combined and all the factories.
Yeah, go see my video, Caveman Killed the Dinosaur.
Wait, and that's only 12%. That's only 12%. The other 80%, does anyone here know what the other 80% of all the carbon that's being pumped into the air every year is coming from?
Volcanoes, man.
Factories. No.
Plants.
No. No, carbon consumed by them for the most part, except when they die.
Yeah.
Composition.
There you go. Terry, what?
But no, that's still not it, though. Yeah, that's what I was just saying is that's the only time plants put carbon back in the air is when they're decomposing. But no, the majority, the 80 plus percent of the carbon that's going into the air is coming from volcanoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So are they going to run around and put corks in all those?
Yeah, that's a good idea. We could go into cork business.
Hey, they're trying to get power off of them anyway. Little small corks at the base.
They're putting a relief valve on it.
And yeah.
That idea, I mean, that's, you know, you're basically, you're getting energy from something that's going to put carbon in the air no matter what. Can't stop.
Well, listen, go see my video, Caveman Killed the Dinosaur. That explains it all, and it'll show you how to make some money by going into the cork business. But if there was enough methane to reach from that cow's butt all the way up to the atmosphere up there, and first time you went out and lit a smoke, you'd find out what global warming was all about.
Well, that's just it, though. The methane diffuses into the air, so it's not really combustible anymore.
Well, I'm telling you,
this is the thing. Plants consume methane for the carbon that's in it the same way they consume carbon dioxide for the carbon in it to make sugar and starch out of it, cellulose.
That's how the dinosaurs died, man. I'm telling you. You think about a cow fart, and then you think about a dinosaur fart. You've got some difference in volume going on there, man.
Right? Goes up in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Just got a fire. Boom. It's all over.
Big old green murky cloud, and that old caveman's over rubbing two sticks together trying to get a fire going because, you know, if you don't get that fire going, it's going to be
sure
cold at night.
It's just like, man, all I was doing was just trying to have a good meal, and suddenly this guy got to come along rubbing sticks together. What's wrong with you?
Like that scene from like those movies where they're like, no,
yeah,
and then, you know,
yeah,
whoosh.
It goes to the long distance scene where the explosion happens.
All right, look, one of us has got to take our time machine back there and put one of those danger flammable signs on the back of every dinosaur. Now, I volunteer. I volunteer cultists to put them on the backs of the
That's not going to get done. He's the one talking about taking the labels off things.
Well, yeah. You put them on the backs of the...
Hang on.
You put them on the T-Rexes.
What you're really saying is you would like to begin idiot-proofing the world 65 million years earlier?
Yeah.
No.
But I'm volunteering you. I'm volunteering you to put them on the back of the T-Rexes. All right.
You'll see a dinosaur.
You will have my sign that reads, "If you're brave enough, ignite here."
Yeah, there you go.
that reminds me of a story. That's pretty awful. I mean, but it was funny. I did this years back. All the time, you know, people would, they'd have an NES missing cats, you know, a picture of a cat or a dog. And what they do is they go up and down my road and they, you know, tape it to every tree or pole. And what's wild is, you know, everybody would do that. And that's cool, you know, trying to find your animal. But when they sit on the pole for like a year, you know, or two, and you didn't come back and get it, or your cat came back, but you left the pictures out or whatever. I don't know. I got so frustrated one day, and this is years back. I made up a basically my sign that was a picture of a dinosaur. And I said I had a missing dinosaur, and if anybody had seen it since the Jurassic period, to give me a call, you know, and I put my number on there and everything, and I put them all up and down the road, and it was really like, anybody seen my missus? It was a Stegosaurus. Yeah, anyway. Cool. So, you know.
I think waste of your time. I have a feeling that went right over all those people's heads.
Yeah, sort of. But me and cultists have been talking about it. I live in a town, you know, with the state college, so you get a lot of kids in here that are trying to learn, and there's a lot of intelligent people around where I'm at, you know. I think half of them didn't understand, but the other half got the idea, you know, and ever since then, I've not really seen too many of those signs on
it. Well, you know, putting warning signs on a dinosaur, I just realized, had a flaw. Somebody's going to have to go back and teach them how to read that sign, too, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any volunteers? All right, well.
We're really messing with history now, man.
Yeah.
We think we've got problems with control now. Good Lord.
Well, you know, if there was dinosaurs running around, then I think the government would be too busy to mess with us, so. You know.
Chickens are dinosaurs. They just did, you know, that's.
Yeah,
I had this conversation. There's literally a company, as I saw it on a TED Talks, there's these guys that are actually trying to, when the chicken is forming in the egg, it does have a tail and it actually has hands, but what happens is, you know, halfway through it starts changing, and basically they're wanting to stop that, and to where it's born with with a tail and with its claws. So it'll be the Chickensaurus, and I would say, you know, these guys, this was a pretty old TED Talks, I would think they are probably getting pretty close, or have done it, but they'll probably be a chicken dinosaur in the next 10 years.
Holy smokes, man, put a saddle on it.
That's strange.
It is very strange.
Could you imagine having a saddle on a giant chicken riding through town?
It'd be like that old Dutch story about the woman who wished so bad that she had a child that she, you know, she's like, I don't care what it's like, and so it came out looking like a hedgehog, and he, for some reason, rode a giant chicken that appeared later for no reason at all.
My question is
a really old one. Holy,
my question.
Oh, you know about that story?
Oh, I yeah.
My
yeah.
quest. My question is, stuff. What was
I
the
know, right?
What was the people?
All right, sorry, Josh.
Hey. My question is, what was the people smoking when they wrote that story?
Hey, man, it came from the Netherlands. What do you think that was?
I'm just saying.
Guys, I'll be back in a second.
Man.
That's not racial, that's factual.
All right, well.
Yeah, like crocodiles and all Australians.
They got kangaroos in Australia, man.
Yeah, stop beating that dead kangaroo, man.
Yeah. Anyway,
Bruce will kick you right in your head.
I was hoping that cultist would bring one to me whenever he came from Australia, but he couldn't smuggle one in.
Yeah, no, they took it off me in customs.
Man. Well, one of them drop bears. I'd like to get one of them drop bears.
Hey, man, there's still about three of them running around the backyard here. I haven't been able to catch them. Hang on. Let me share the link for drop bears. just no one say anything. Just let him
wait. It sounds familiar.
Huh?
This sounds familiar.
Yeah, that's what they tell me.
They're real, man. They're real. There's an Australian Museum website page all about them. Let me see if I can find them.
If I recall correctly, this was a prank you did a long time ago, and I still fell for it like twice.
Did you?
I think.
Anyway, back to reality, man. So when you go to get your solar panels and all that set up, and now the government wanted to tax you on it, it got to be a way around all that, man. I was talking about putting it in the bottom of a swimming pool, or putting them down in your basement and pipe in the sunlight or whatever. You know, there's a way around all that. I mean, I'd put my windmill up as some sort of yard art or something. Of course, then there'd probably be some sort of regulation.
I think the only time you're going to have a problem with the government coming along and saying anything about it is if you've got neighbors that are too nosy.
Yeah, so move out to the country where you don't have neighbors.
Right, well, I was going to say, that goes back to what you were saying about instead of going over to your neighbor and seeing he's got something wrong and... And, well, man, I got to tell somebody about this instead of just go over there and see if you can, you know, if there's something wrong and see if you can help them, you know?
Well, run a free extension cord over to your neighbor's house, and that way they're, like, guilt by association because they're getting free energy, too. And yeah. Then they can't complain. Hey, man, free electricity. Plug in.
See it all, yeah, guys? Like, go ahead, sir.
It becomes like a drug. You know, like, here... Have some free energy, man. It's the good stuff.
Yeah, it's cheap. It's free, man.
Well, it's probably
jealousy, too, you know. If the guy next door is paying the electric bill and you're not, he's, you know, I don't know why he wouldn't come over and say, hey, what are you doing, and get on there. I tell people all the time, the initial investment in something like that, yeah, it costs a little bit, but... It'll pay for itself within, I mean, less than a year.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of money I did it. I mean, the amount of money I'm paying for electricity right now. You know, I've made a vow by the time it's spring right now, and by the time winter gets here, you know, I'm going to be off of it, regardless of what they want to. You know, I may keep the grid power hooked up, running a light bulb on the porch, and get a $3 electric bill.
Well, here's a cheap. Hey, here's
that's how I'm going to get around it.
Here's
to keep raising the rates on it.
Listen. Here's a cheap and easy solution. Before I say that, I got to say something that was on my mind. You shouldn't have to peer pressure your neighbors into free energy. They should be interested. But anyway, if you get a hold of a whole bunch of APCs, the automatic power supplies deals that you use for your computer backups, like this one particular one that I got right here. Let me see if there's a model number on it.
It's actually called a UPS, and they're made by APC.
Yeah,
UPS
well,
stands for uninterrupted power supply.
Okay, so this one here's this is a back UPS ES 350. All right, it has a 12 volt battery in there. Well, whenever you whenever your power goes off, this will give you 15 minutes to shut your computer down before, you know, it just shuts off and crashes. And so, with that said, whatever you run on there will only allow you 15 minutes, and the more you run on there will probably allow you even less. However, if you take this same deal, you can plug it right into the wall. You can hook it, connect it to a massive battery bank, all in parallel. And so while the regular main power is on, you can be charging that battery bank. And when the power goes off, the more batteries you got, the more time that you will be able to buy as far as how long till the thing shuts itself off. So
I have a stack of those, and there's a flaw with what you're talking about, that you have to do something to alter it to stop that from happening. There's a timer built into those, so even if you have all that extra power, it will still start counting down and expecting that it's going to run out of power and shut down, and it squeaks like crazy the whole time.
Well,
it's got a buzzer on it.
Take the buzzer off.
Well, no, there's a chip in there that basically has a couple little leads that if you cross those over, it shuts off its sensor that looks to see if it's getting AC power from the wall outlet.
Yeah.
And it turns on the inverter full force all the time, so that way it runs from battery power.
Oh, just go down to the golf cart place, guy that sells golf carts, get you some some deep cycle batteries, a couple panels or some motors or some alternators, and a phase inverter, and that's the
I've done that more than once, smaller systems. My wife and I, when we first started together, we, you know, I ran a whole 70-foot mobile home trailer off of a, yes, it was a gasoline power generator. I just took the 220, plugged it into the 220 that goes into the dryer in the house, and it lit up all the sockets and all the lights and everything. And, you know, it's just, you know, batteries, phase inverter, some panels. You know, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of other stuff, and if you don't know how to maintain and check your batteries, you might have to buy some expensive thing that does that for you. But I've got three family members that live in Hawaii, and that's what they're, you know, they've got panels, collect their rainwater.
Well, what I was trying to say
down
with
there too, because the kilowatt down there, it costs like four times what it costs, say, here in Oklahoma.
And Thomas, I want to ask you a question. There's always this debate on solar cells. You know, I always thought that a solar cell was created for a satellite to be in outer space, so it would probably work a lot better in a cooler environment than a really, really hot environment. I've heard that the cells don't perform at a decent rate when it's too
actually
hot.
It depends on the solar cell type. Some of them work better when they're hot, some of them don't. But a misconception is that everything's cold in space, and that's not true. It's an instant change is what you're looking at. If you don't have light hitting it from the sun, it instantly gets cold. There's nothing to keep it from there's no retention to hold any heat. And the second it's in the sun, it's instantly full blast, getting burned up. So
I was reading a few years ago the reason why they were putting them on buildings in Atlanta, Georgia, on the roofs of buildings, running tests, and there was all these, you know, all this backlash room saying, oh, they don't work good, they're only running at 30% efficiency or something when it's 80 degrees in the sun or 90 degrees and the sun's hitting it, and all this stuff, basically saying they don't work where it's hot. I mean, you know, and this was years ago. So, you know, like I said, there's disinformation. And really, Shaziz, you do have to pressure people to go off the grid. I know people that could go off the grid seven times and it wouldn't even hurt them. You know, they could pay for the top-of-the-line stuff. And they won't do it, even though they invest in all kinds of other crazy stuff, like stocks. And, you know, just...
Well, but... Think about
these are people that are asleep and they're attached to the system.
Think about this, guys.
Protect that system.
Yeah, I'm just trying to wake them up a little.
When you go to your local mall or grocery store or anything like that, they've got some sort of massive backup power system, and they're able to keep the lights on even when the power goes off. And so, with that said,
power generators and batteries usually.
Yeah, well. What I was saying with this APC deal is, you know, maybe you got to modify something in there to, you know, shut off timers and stuff like that. But if you had
it's not hard. In fact, after the show's over, I'll dig around and find the PDFs and all the documentation on it and post that so people can find out about it.
Cool. We'll put it up on the site. Because a lot of people throw these things away, you know, when they stop working because
the battery dies.
Yeah,
because the battery. Well, I got three out of the dumpster.
I've got
so many, I had to stop picking them up literally.
Well,
for you to find them locally, the best place to look will be any company that does cable installs, like the big companies that put it in the ground and they run all the wiring and whatnot for the phone companies. They throw this stuff away as soon as a certain time period goes by. They don't even wait for it to go bad. They just toss it, and they cycle it out. It's a part of their maintenance program, so their dumpster will be full of these batteries and these APCs and all sorts of stuff like that.
Well, I'll take as many as I can get.
Yeah.
But see,
I think your limit for those is 3,000 watts. So you can run a good AC off it, and probably most people's computer system with some overhead. You're running a big
Slayer exciters you can run off of that.
Yeah, what'd you say, Terry? Go ahead, say that again.
How many Slayer exciters could you run off of one of those?
Yeah.
You can light up your whole house for days, probably.
Yep.
Well, it's true. I can run this is a wild fact. I've been doing this for a couple of days. I can run a Fisher-Price 12-volt kitty battery, you know, that you can buy at Walmart or wherever. I can hook that up to a Slayer that's, 20 inches at 3-inch pipe, you know, Gary circuit. And I think the pancake is 7 turns, a little 3-inch steel ball. I've been running this thing for 4 days now. I think, yeah, today's four. 4 days. It hasn't changed at all. The voltage is now, it started at 12.2, I believe. It's at 11.8. And it's been running four 40-inch neon tubes.
I've got a friend who built some crystal cells and has been running an array of LEDs bright enough to basically, like your typical, you know.
For years. Is that the same guy I know?
No, he's been running basically, you know, the equivalent of two AA battery like flashlight LEDs. He's been running them for like 4.5 months.
Well, I know for a fact that you can recondition old batteries with high voltage.
Right. Well, I was going to say, he's not using a Slayer Exciter. He's using it straight off of the crystal cells. But I've been wanting to try to get him to try the Slayer Exciter. Yeah. So I think it'll be better than.
What exactly does that do?
Does he have laser? Does this guy have laser in his name?
No.
Okay, because laser, I believe laser hacker, laser somebody. Yeah, he's been running them for four lasers. He's been running them. He's made some, and he's been running them for 4 years or something.
I was gonna say, Cultist knows who this guy is. You remember who I'm talking about? The guy that was going to try to do the thing around the world on 80 watts.
All right. Yep.
Yeah, he got really big into that. I guess he found Fausto. It's like Pengo4 or something like that is his username on YouTube, where he's been doing a ton of research on crystal cells. So,
well, that's the key, man, you know, knowing how to make the batteries, knowing how to make the capacitors, knowing how to make the transformers, knowing how to make the everything from scratch. You know, that's the key. That's the key.
Yeah, make it out of junk, man.
Exactly, you know?
Yeah. And they say there ain't no such thing as free energy.
That's what I've done.
Most of those materials they're using are like water glass and Epsom salts, and then they use copper and magnesium.
Like, guys, like, you know, Terry's on here. I've been talking about Terry. I want Terry to talk about where his Tesla coils come from. This is... Everybody should
100% recycled stuff.
But wouldn't the magnesium rods that Laser Hacker uses, wouldn't that simply act as a chemical catalyst thing for the batteries? You know, like wearing the magnesium down.
That the if he's using the same crystal cell technology that Rob is using from Fausto's videos. They're coating them with water glass to try to, you know, glue everything together. And what a lot of people don't understand is when you charge that magnesium, when that magnesium rod becomes charged from its chemical reaction, it's actually becoming acidic, and it turns the water glass into quartz crystal over the surface of it.
Cool.
So you're literally depositing a layer of quartz or glass over the surface.
No way.
What amount of chemical reaction do you think that metal is going to have once that's happened?
Very little, if any.
Right. However, quartz is, you know, one of those things where the thinner it is, the smaller the vibration it takes to generate voltage.
So there's a solution for everything under the sun, man.
Yep.
So then let's figure out a way of using a resonating coil like Tesla did for free energy. If we can find that solution, then I'll invest in it.
We're working on it.
That's quite a bit of research, I believe.
Yeah, we're obsessively working on it and thinking about it and obsessing and thinking some more.
Well, while the other guys are out there resonating, I'm working on plasma technology because I got a lot of good hope I believe in it. Let's just say that.
We got to believe in it for it to come true, right?
What if Phaser has, you know, like the... You know, not the Star Trek version, but the algebraic thing about, I forget exactly what it is, but what if that's the key to it? Like, taking, like, a few signals and, like, modulating them so that each one is, like, slightly out of phase, but each one amplifies the next one?
Step up or step down. Yeah.
Like hitting the power.
Yeah, there are people that have been tinkering around with a lot of this stuff for a very, very long time. What I'm guessing is the people who have figured it out, because I'm sure it's been figured out already, they've met so much resistance, like Ryan was talking about, where these people just don't want to get off the grid. They don't want to have free energy. They don't want to, you know, to have these things or, you know, use these things that will benefit them. They eventually gave up on trying to get them to do it, and they just use it themselves.
Yeah, but see, well, I don't understand all that resistance. What I don't understand about all that resistance, you know, you got the preppers out there. Of course, you know, they're trying to put up solar panels and that kind of stuff. But what happens if, hypothetically, the worst-case scenario did occur? We got a big old electromagnetic pulse off the sun, and now they ain't got no lights whatsoever, you know?
Yeah.
And I always tell everybody that if the apocalypse ever happens, come over to Shaziz's house. It'll be the one with the lights on. I guarantee you that.
That's a long walk, I'll tell you what.
Well,
long walk, Shaziz, from where I'm at. It may take me a couple days.
Whenever you're on that journey heading through the apocalyptic zones and all that, and you're going out there, and people ask you, where are you going, brother? Oh, I'm off to see the wizard over there. You got the lights on.
What was it? Don't mind the man behind the curtain.
Yeah. But, you know...
Getting back, though, Mr. Tesseract said something about, you know, like, phasing those pulses together. Those guys that have probably figured that out or whatever, I bet they figured it out by, I bet they threw lots of rocks in a still body of water. I've been doing a lot of thinking, just throwing rocks into my pond and watching those waves. You know, it's amazing. And I guess if they, you know, to answer your question or maybe think or theorize what they would be doing, it's like how... You know, it is. It's like using those waves to bounce off each other to create more little waves or amplify another wave behind it. It's amazing when you throw a rock in there and then one right on top of it, right in the middle where it was at, how much more of a wave. You get this other wave in there. It's different. Anyway.
Well, what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. There's these guys that work on ship design and, you know, are always using those big pools, you know, and looking at the way the water moves and all this stuff. But, I mean, that right there is a form of Tesla research, because that's understanding the way the waves are working on the coils and the way the resonance is happening. You know, the water's resonating certain way. It's, you know, the guys that add bubbles to the water to where it loses its, you know, its, you know, effect to float stuff because it's all air.
What do you guys think of this idea right here? You know how Tesla used to sit there and he'd slap the knife switch on and off and he'd get that surge of power? What if you took a coil and you had another coil, and one coil would be your energizer coil, and like whenever you have it on positive and negative, the poles would be in one specific direction. What if you took a switch where you could get to either rotate via a disc and brushes to flip that polarity back and forth really, really super fast and energize that second coil? You see where I'm coming from?
If you're talking about like a DC current and you're going to flip the polarities on it.
You got to come closer to the mic, Coltis.
If you're talking about a DC current and you're going to flip the polarities on it rapidly, that's how I baited electrons.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So I'd say you're right on the money there.
But, you know, you would get that wave thing that you're talking about, you know, kind of like the swinging back and forth, you know, because as the waves are flipping back and forth, you know, they're going to be crisscrossing each other at some point. And all you got to do is get those electrons on that copper winding to be, you know, shake that loose, that extra electron to get that current flow. And so it wouldn't take very much to build a disc that had a rotor on it for brushes, and you could either spin it up really super fast or slow it down and actually adjust how fast them fields are flipping back and forth. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like a Tesla switch?
It's
how he got AC from DC. You know, he took a little DC motor and then some static deal and the little brushes and then spun the electric motor. It was like click, 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 positive, negative, positive, negative, positive, negative.
Yeah, well, I guess he probably did.
That was he made AC from that.
But either way, that
hey,
thing...
Shaziz.
Yeah.
Shaziz. Dame Sharon would just like to step in for one moment and say something, if she may.
Happy Mother's Day!
Yeah, happy
Mother's Day. Hang on a tick. I'll just pass her over.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hello.
Happy Mother's Day to you.
Happy Mother's Day, Dame Sharon.
Oh, Dame Sharon.
Happy Mother's Day.
Well, thank you very much. I just want to tell you all that I love you so much, and that I wish I could be on today, but I'm going to go be in church with my mama and my sister.
Well, it's always good to be in church with your mama and your sister.
Yeah, but another thing I wanted to say is you guys don't ever forget what you're doing for this world, ever, because it's so awesome to listen and to watch of what's going on. And just all your guys' ideas that I hear from cultists and things like that. And I believe it's going to go very, very far.
Well, we believe in the dream, and that's what I think brought us all together, you know. Nobody's going to fix this world but us.
Right. And
so with that said, we love you too.
I know.
And so, you know, I like the Knights of the Round Table for many reasons, but the biggest reason is that it actually brings people from all different nations together and brilliant minds that otherwise may not have connected. And so when you put all these minds together, there's nothing that I believe there's nothing that we can't accomplish. If we keep our goals and our spirit the same way that we've got them now, the belief systems that we've set up here on the Knights of the Round Table, together, working together, you know, without all the argument, you know, if one of us is wrong in something, one of us points it out and says, look, you know, that's not going to work because you got to do this or that, you know, and we do it in a respectful manner. Nobody's getting mad and walking away from the table. I can't remember too many times, if any at all, that any of the knights have got upset because nobody wanted to hear what they had to say and up and left. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
one thing before I go, I just want to say that no matter how big the nights get, don't ever forget what brought us together, and that is love. And that's like the most awesome part of it.
Well said. You guys have a wonderful Mother's Day in church, and give all the mamas a hug for us.
I will. You guys have a good day. Have a great show.
You too. Take care.
Bye.
That was Dame Shannon. Wonderful lady. Love her to pieces. So, we were
she's a good bird.
Yeah.
We were flip-flopping a magnetic field. We were flip-flopping a magnetic field at an alarming rate. Now, what could we do with that energy? We could pulse some coils. You know, for every inch, it changes the frequency of the wire of the magnetic field. As you're pulsing your coil, the more windings you have on there, it changes the frequency. It's like turning your radio dial on your TV or your radio, whatever, to each station.
Yeah.
And so there are so many different frequencies within that range that is just amazing. I mean, look what Tesla accomplished with that one design. I mean, it's just incredible. We're walking around with cell phones. There's Tesla technology and everything around you.
Everything.
And so you use it via CBs. Ham radio guys use it. We got walkie-talkies. We got cell phones. And all of them are on different frequencies. And the ones that are on same frequencies, you can talk back and forth to each other because they're resonating. So it has been done before. Now, the key is, where are we going to do it to where we can get the specific frequency to resonate a coil from this side of the planet to your side of the planet? What do you think?
We're going to have to use the
Earth. The Earth. There you go. Now we're talking. We're going to ring it like a bell. Not to the point where we cause an earthquake.
Yeah, let's not have that.
Yes, it is.
So, moving right along.
Who likes to resonate crystals in caves and scare half the planet at once?
Well, you know, caves have awesome acoustics.
What the planet do?
Caves are like bass cannons. Do you guys remember the old bass cannons?
You mean, wait, those were actually real things?
Yeah, they were tubes. They were speakers inside tubes. And, man, when these things boom, I mean, you could feel it. I mean, it would shake you.
Well, it's like last week.
That was just like a cartoon thing because she was like, you know.
You just basically take two speakers and put one on each end of the the two, point them at each other, and then set them off so that one's going positive, negative, where the way it's supposed to, and the other one's negative, positive. That way, when one's pulling, the other one's pushing.
Yeah.
It's like basically having double the amount of air push per speaker.
What, Miko?
They will self-destruct.
They will self-destruct.
Do it, then. Make a video. I want to do it, man. I want to take two speakers and put them on a big 6-inch tube and point them at each other and run like 500 watts to it. I think if you drilled a hole in the middle of that, you'd get some wild, or like two holes, one on the top, one on the bottom. You get some wild airflow, and almost like what Shaziz was talking about yesterday on the show about the motor in the boat. Remember the boat thing?
Yeah.
The boat project?
Yep.
Yeah, but you can almost, I mean, think about how much air is coming out of the front of a woofer, one of those little, the bass box for a surround sound system.
Yeah.
A lot of air. Go ahead.
Have you seen the tube with the holes drilled in it and the gas is piped in and it has a speaker and the flames are showing you the waveform of the sound?
Cool.
Oh, that's seen that cool. One?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty badass.
Love to see
It's a really old experiment.
I just
all the little ports are lit and have a little flame on the speaker. Makes all those flames change length, and it shows a wave, which is the sound wave of the frequency coming in. And as the frequency changes, you can see that waveform in the flames.
That's cool.
I forgot what the name of it is.
I've seen them do it with water.
Can do the same thing with tube. It's an experiment that they've done a lot. It's on YouTube. I just can't think of the name of it.
What'd you say, Miko?
You can do the same thing with a Tesla coil on a fluorescent tube. When at one point you can see the wave of the electricity in the fluorescent tube.
Yeah. Some people refer to them as energy sprites. They have those little lines moving through, and they literally move back. They look like they're moving back and forth, but it's actually the resonating wave moving through the gas. You can actually.
I've been doing some. I wanted to tell you guys this. This is pretty cool.
That's what low frequency.
Low frequency. Yeah.
Do this.
So you guys
remembered something.
Go ahead, Mister.
Sorry, on the pulling and pushing thing, the positive negative thing. There was a thing by Tesla that he used a pulsed DC in the front of a craft and a something AC, modulated AC something, in the back, and the back was supposed to like expand space, not like space, but you know, expand the medium aether, and DC was supposed to like break it down and like sucked the craft forward.
Huh. You're talking how the theory behind warp drive, aren't you? Where they
that sounds similar. I know, but I thought it was the same thing too. But it's like a Tesla flying craft thing. But it this one was just land vehicle.
Okay, interesting.
If it can move on the ground, it can possibly move up and down. Yeah.
I want to tell you guys this real quick. You guys, most of you guys know I'm always like touching a Tesla coil. And,
crazy.
So I was like touching it one day. It was 2 days ago. I was playing around with it. And, had a bulb laying, near the power strip. And I got done playing around and touching it. And, I went to turn the power off. And I went to grab the bulb to move it over. And the bulb turned on for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
after everything was shut off.
Yeah, everything was shut off.
Yeah.
I was charged up, man.
There's a static charge that builds up inside the fluorescent tube,
and you're the earth, you're the path to ground, which then allows it to flicker. We were doing that.
Yeah, to ignite the gas. To excite the gas inside just for that couple, just a half a second, you know.
Yeah.
But it flickered.
You
turned on
the glasses. Like,
well, if you like that, I got a wild story for you.
Yeah, I
want to
hear
one. I was running some experiments with different frequencies, and I had been spending a lot of time out in my lab, and me and my wife were going to go camping this one specific day, and I had spent the two or three days prior, I can't even remember because I don't even remember eating or sleeping during them 2-3 days, but I was out in my lab all that time running these experiments. And so when we finally got to the campsite, I'm laying there in the dark and laying in bed, and I could literally feel the electrons moving between my fingers, you know, that little static charge in between your fingers. And so I believed that I had myself so energized, you know, your body's like a capacitor. It's got salt and everything else in it. A lot of
what is it? It's 40, what are we, 40 nanofarads, guys, something like that? 30-something nanofarads?
Roughly.
But
something like that.
It's kind of like if you know how that feeling you get when your leg goes asleep or something like that, your foot goes asleep, that tingly feeling. Not exactly. This is more like you know electricity once you felt it. But I could literally feel the electrons. I could put my fingers together and I could literally feel the electrons between my fingers. What do you think was going on there?
Your aura was highly charged.
Well, something was highly charged because my hair
your
is.
Capacitor was, your capacitor was highly charged. You know, your body is charged up. You know, yeah.
It didn't feel bad. I mean, it felt good. It was incredible because I could literally feel all the energy around me. You know, and it was just amazing. And I didn't sleep. I mean, I had too much energy to sleep.
Yeah, I'm
gonna have to build me a Tesla coil now and experience that for myself.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Scott thinks I'm annoying now when I'm not sleeping.
But who needs coffee when you got Tesla technology?
I know, right?
I tell you what, when I start losing energy, man, I just go back there, flip it on. Or Terry says this too. If Terry's had a bad day or whatever, he just goes down in the basement and flips it on, and
And maybe it sounds crazy, but I'm addicted to the smell of ozone, man.
I know for a fact. Hey, Tesla used to bathe in it.
Have any of you
used
figured
to take
out,
a bath?
Have any of you figured out exactly what it is that's perking you up, that's keeping you awake?
I always assumed that it was resonating with your aura and charging it up, because if you're...
I assumed that it was the extra oxygen molecules that you get with the ozone.
Ozone, yeah, that's right. If you were to live in an oxygen tank, you would heal almost, like, within minutes if you cut yourself, like...
Yeah, like the guys, like the professional athletes that sleep in their things all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. See, our bodies are actually designed to be in an environment of more oxygen than what we currently are. So by keeping ourselves for long periods of time around the ozone that comes off the Tesla coil, breathe deeply, boys. Breathe deeply when you're working on your Tesla coils.
Well, I do. I'm going to make me an ozone bong.
I have one more thing besides that.
Consider it done.
Yeah. that I think is part of it too. You know, I always say that our brains are just like the most insane spark gap in the world ever. You know, it's nothing but neurons firing. Exactly. I believe when you introduce, that kind of electricity to your body, you know, I believe it does it. It's if I have a spark gap running and I add some more power to that spark gap, what does it do? Right. Changes that spark gap with the way it's set. So I believe small, not a lot, and you know, they used to do this, remember, electrotherapy, but they used to shock people.
Actually, they're still kind of doing that. They found that if they introduce this shock on children who are having trouble learning, their learning level goes like through the roof, like their brain starts actually working at a better rate.
All right, so charging the battery back up.
That's not working properly.
Yeah, and maybe
is it repairing it, or is it just they don't want to get shocked anymore? So
no, well, no, the shock they're using, they can barely feel. It's the frequency that they're using that has the effect on it.
Oh, and so I wouldn't advise doing it all the time. You know, it's
if it doesn't work after like the first two times, they they look at other options, other things that might be wrong.
But I believe it affects your brain.
It actually restores some of the chemical balance that's supposed to be going on inside the brain that's not there. Yeah. So,
well, with that said,
a specific area that
we go through some profound change.
Yeah. Exactly. That's why everybody that builds a testicle, Terry. Yeah, I believe so. Like when you build one and you start messing with it and you're around it, it does change you. A profound change. That's almost the reason why I want everybody to have one. Like I keep saying, if I could just give them away, I would, because it's between making the air the best air you could breathe, and then and there's a lot of guys out there. Listen, there'll be a lot of guys that will email me and be like, "Yeah, right," and send me all this information about all the awful stuff that comes off the Tesla coil and the spark gap and all that. But no, man, it's and yeah, I do believe, you know, if it's helping children, like I've never really heard about that, but I do believe it does change.
Well, if you think about it, seriously, we are energy beings because we have protons, neutrons, and electrons. If you could stretch us out from here to New York, you would see nothing but molecules moving around, you know? So we are energy. You know, water, you know, we're 3/4 water. There's hydrogen and oxygen. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's electrical signals being sent from our brain to every single nerve ending that can communicate both forward and backward. And so we are pure energy. So with that said, when you start feeling like crud, I've done this before. I've come out in my lab and started working, and I feel great. So I don't see where the damage is going there. You know, my hair ain't falling out, with the exception of receding from old age. But other than that, you know, I'm energized. I feel good when I'm working with my Tesla coils.
Has anybody ever been killed by a Tesla coil?
I'm sure there has been people.
Yes, there was a father. It was a father-son couple. When I put the video on of Asher, you know, on YouTube of my son demonstrating and talking about the little bipolar Tesla coil, I got comments back from guys, you know, pretty much telling me, yeah, the father-son got killed, and I have children, and, you know, what if they were to stumble or this or that, you know.
This is the thing. When you're working with Tesla coils, if you want to touch a Tesla coil, you need to make it as high frequency as possible, because that will create the skin effect, whereby the electrons run across your skin, not inside your skin. That's where the danger comes.
Kind of like whenever we're all lined up holding the fluorescent bulb.
Yeah, and I touched the back of Shannon's neck, and she'd want to punch me in the mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, it seems like it's time for a good old music break. What do you guys think?
That sounds like a plan, mate.
All right, well, we're going to rejuvenate and get our coffee, and then we'll be back with some more of the Knights of the Round Table. Everybody stay tuned and enjoy these tunes. The first two tunes are for my buddy Thomas over there. He recommends these two songs that pretty much explains a lot of stuff if you actually listen to the message in them. So, with that said, let's go. What do you think? Alrighty then. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Here, I gotta push the play button now.
Side to side, back and forth, back and forth, back and side to side.
Hey, Dr. Steele, look at my new trumpet.
Well, that is a fine trumpet, soldier. Wow, strong, healthy lungs. Soldier? 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 Hello? Can you hear me? I'm getting another call. Listen, soldier, just keep playing the horn and I'll get back to you. Sorry about that. Quiet all day and then everyone calls at one time. Okay, let's see here. Tell me when you can hear me. How about now? Hello? Hello? Listen. Listen to me. Listen to me.
Listen to me. Listen to me, my children.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen, children. Gather around, make it a center of my voice. There's girls and boys, will you make it a choice? You can do what you say, so you can bite off my cord. It's the bomb, so hey, jump around, make some noise. I never lied to you, you know I die for you. Yeah, I love you too, so just do what you do. Consume and power it up. Come on, show me some love. I'll be blowing you up.
Gentlemen of the class of 99, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you'll look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. don't worry about the future. Or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubblegum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, it's only with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds I know still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance. So are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own. Dance. Even if you have nowhere to do it but in your own living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly.
Brother and sister, together we'll make it through. Someday our spirit will take you and guide you there. I know you've been hurting, but I've been waiting to be there for you. And I'll be there just helping you out whenever.
Get to know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good. Be nice to your siblings. They're your best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in the future. Understand that friends come and go, but with a precious few, you should hold on. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography and lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need the people you knew when you were young. Live in New York City once, but leave before it makes you hard. Live in Northern California once, but leave before it makes you soft. Travel. Accept certain inalienable truths. Prices will rise, politicians will philander, you too will get old. And when you do, you'll fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. Respect your elders. Don't expect anyone else to support you. Maybe you have a trust fund, maybe you'll have a wealthy spouse, but you never know when either one might run out. Don't mess too much with your hair, or by the time you're 40, it will look 85. Be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. But trust me, on the sunscreen.
Brother and sister, together we'll make it through. Oh, oh yeah.
nothing happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. Thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
Hey, hey, tu sais the turtle. All rise for the king, Shazam the turtle, and the knights of the round table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. We got pretty much a full house here at the table today. That's a wonderful thing. Like Dame Shannon was saying, we got a really amazing thing going on, and we got to keep our hearts and minds in the right place and keep this ball rolling, because if you look at the list of people and all the nations of people that come together here on Awake Radio and No Borders, and we're over on 1800 online as well. Man, there's just so many networks that are coming on board. Shake and Wake Radio. We're bringing all these people together, and we're doing wonderful things. We're talking about subjects that need to be addressed, but we're not out here fear mongering people. Just trying to put a wide open eye to the world. You know that there's possibilities. There's always a alternative to the mainstream sort of system that's going on, that we can see by the example of what they've done before in the past. Their track record sucks, you know. And so, with that said, the average Joe down here, you know, looking at the grand scheme of things, one single guy may feel like overwhelmed. There's no way I can fix the world, you know. You don't have to fix the world. Fix your backyard. Clean up your backyard and work your way out. You know, when your neighbors see your backyard looking all good, they're going to fix their backyard. And if you believe in what we're doing here on the Knights of the Round Table and Mad Science and on all these different networks, tell your friends. Bring them over here. Get them in the chat room. Get them talking. You know, that's the key. That was the big idea behind the Knights of the Round Table, was to put the platform in place to get people there to the table to talk, you know. And we're not all just about talk either, because if you go around and check any of our YouTube channels out, you'll see that all of us guys that are in the alternative energy, we've got all kinds of different projects that we share. We even share the good projects and the failed projects. Because even with the failed project, there's a plus that comes out of there, because you learn something. You know, that little anomaly that occurred during this one specific experiment. this is what I want to know what happened, you know. It's like the laws of physics. I don't care about the 9 times out of 10 it all happened the same way. I want to know why that one specific time it happened a different way. And with Tesla technology, it just unlocks the door of epic proportions when it comes to unlocking your mind and possibilities, things that could be done, you know. And so, with that said, tell your friends about it. Jump on your Facebook or your YouTube or your, whatever social network on. Even if you're on that old antique MySpace. I don't know if anybody still got one of those. I might still have one floating out there somewhere. But whatever social media you use, just jump on it. Tell your friends, you know. Tell your friends as you're out and about, hey, you know, there's some guys working on alternative energy that's trying to get it so nobody has to pay a power bill. And that's the ultimate goal. Because until you get out from underneath the thumb of the corporations and the doggone power companies and government regulations, this and that, you've seen they've taxed everything under the sun. They've even taxed the sun, for Pete's sake. They don't own the sun. We all own the sun. You know, they've taxed the sun, they've taxed the water, they've taxed the wind. They'll tax anything, man. If you find something new, they'll figure out a way to tax that, too. So,
you know. The air we breathe.
Yeah. If you have air. Money, they'll tax. They'll find ways to tax it out of you. They don't care whether about the things that they're taxing. They care about the money that they're taxing away from you.
Yeah, and so the red flag with that is ought to be, you know, if that's all they're going to do is turn around and tax you, and ask yourself the big question. When Coltus was over here, you know, and he was driving, and he hit a pothole. And I was talking to him on the phone one day about this pothole that he hit. And I told him, I said, hey, brother, my tax dollars put that pothole there for you.
Yeah, thanks. Stop paying taxes, is
Well, you know, hey, I got to get my money's worth. So there's holes all over the state of Missouri. I mean, if you want to go on a teeth-rattling ride, go through Missouri roads, because it seems like the more taxes you pay, the worse the roads get.
You want to know the worst? You want to know the worst so far was Michigan.
Oh, I believe it.
Their
believe
roads it. Suck, and there is garbage everywhere. So, again, I'd just like to say, Michigan, clean up your crap.
Yeah, stop throwing it out the window. See, and here's the thing. I want to know where those tax dollars went. I mean, they probably got diverted to the mating habits of a slug or something like that. Put a shrimp on a treadmill for an hour and see what happens, you know, for $1 million. Come on, man.
That's what we deal with, though, isn't it? Like...
Yeah. So, they're not taking your taxes, and you know, it's like I go to work every day, right, and I'm going to hand my paycheck over to Coltus, and I'm going to expect him to be responsible with my money. Coltus looks at me with a thankful eye, and he says, brother, you know, thanks a lot. I'll take care of everything. You know, he goes out to the Pizza Hut and to watch a movie, you know, and buys him some new bling to wear around his neck and all that kind of stuff. And I go in my house one day, and the lights are off, and I'm like, what the heck's going on? He said, oh, sorry, brother, I forgot to pay that bill. I'll catch it next month when you give me your check. See, that's what we got going on. Hey, I'm going to add a contact in there.
Somebody pass it over to Mises, and I'll add him and get him in here.
All right, cool.
I heard the golden kangaroo come after someone.
That was me. Yeah, I know, man. He's a little racist bugger, he is.
The golden kangaroo! That's your new nickname. Never mind. I don't know. That's good. That's a good one right there. I like it. The aluminum kangaroo.
Aluminum is cheap.
Yeah, but no, but it's great for what we do with it. Right, Coltus?
What?
I said, right, Coltus? Aluminum. I don't know.
What do you do with aluminum?
I pick up electricity out of the air. I do all kinds of things with aluminum. Hey, Terry, what do we do with aluminum?
It has tons of uses.
Yeah. It's unreal. It's cheap.
It doesn't... Well, I mean, it's in...
tin foil, or aluminum foil.
It's in a mutt. The cheap Chinese mutt. Are wound with aluminum magnet wire.
Wow.
Which,
yeah, sorry, you're like, it has soft.
Sorry, I don't know what mic to talk into.
That one right there, Terry. That one's great.
This?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if you're just naturally soft or, you know, something's wrong electrically.
Something's wrong electrically.
With our brains. No. Oh, man. Anyway.
Coltis, did you get that contact?
Oh, I heard something.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I'll be back. Hey guys, I'll be back in a second. I have to mix up some resin. Anyway.
Hey, nice.
Give me about five. Yes.
Exactly. Mum's the word on Mother's Day, my friend.
Yes. Oh, it is. That's all I'm saying. All right, I'll be back in a second.
All right.
Give your mom a Tesla coil.
Yeah, that's it. You could give your mom a Tesla coil for Mother's Day and tell her it's a big metal flower.
Yeah.
It's steampunk.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
With some cards on it, and call it Steve.
All right, who all do we still have in here? Looks like we lost somebody.
Pretty much everybody. I think.
Still, Raz is on his way. She is.
Oh, we okay, go. Cool.
Yeah. Welcome, Dil Raz.
You're live on air, brother. Can you hear us?
Hello.
Yeah, how you doing? You're live on the Knights of the Round Table. How you doing?
That was Jonathan.
Oh. So I just said hi to Jonathan?
Yeah, yeah.
That makes for good radio.
It's all good, because let's tell listeners, we've got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 knights in the room at the present moment. So, you know, things are allowed to get a little confucious.
All right, well, you know, where were we at?
Right? Things are going to get a little confucious.
I said things are a little confucious. My poor computer, I'm running like 98% CPU load on freaking Skype at the moment. Like, everything on my end's like...
Alright, so what were we talking about before the break there? Don't everybody jump to the microphone at once. I wouldn't want nobody to chip a tooth.
I was still stuck on the Confucius thing, you know. High on pot.
Yeah, well, Confucius was confused.
We really want to know that.
Anyway, the ludicrousy of the government, man. The doggone regulating everything, taxing you to breathe, taxing you for water. I mean, heck, water is like more expensive than gasoline, you know. And it's just nuts.
That's stupid.
So, you know, what's the average Joe to do, man?
Collecting rainwater.
All right, so here's the thing. They make it illegal for you to collect rainwater, so I say hide it. Okay, you got gutters on your roof. Put you some 50-gallon barrels underground
You don't have to say hide it. Just mention civil disobedience.
Yeah, that'll work. But
that's basically passively fighting the government by refusing to go along with their ridiculous demands. I mean, that's all it is. It's ridiculous for them to demand you not to use what they don't own.
Yeah.
The rainwater does not belong to them. The sun does not belong to them. They don't have a right to tell you what to do with these things.
Well, I agree 100%. I agree 100%. But see, here's the thing. You know, when the local goon, the old, what they call them, code enforcement guy there, the security guard dropout comes to your property and says, you can't have this on your property. Well, I'm going to put me a really nice-looking flower pot out there, you know, and what it's actually going to be is a filtration system. I'll be watering my flower from the gutter, and then that water will filter down through that flower pot and down into a secret hidden 100-gallon tank system underneath there, which then will be piped up underneath my house into a bathroom with a pump, or to the basement with a pump.
Actually, I've got a better solution than that. When you're building this collection system, you need to just literally add an extra layer to your walls.
There you go.
And then let that water go from your gutters into that until it's completely full. And then once it's full, it can go ahead and run off and run down out the spout and into the gutter the way they expect it.
Yeah.
You know.
So they come out there and everything's all looking good, you know. Hey, your yard looks nice, you know.
Actually, there's two benefits to that. You can tap into that water and use that water, of course, because it's collected, right? Let's say if you've got a half a foot of water around your entire house, though, stored away, that not only is that a tremendous amount of water
reserved for you to use, but it also works as an incredible insulator. During the day, that will soak up so much solar heat, keeping your inside cool, and at night, it'll radiate it back, basically keeping you a nice moderated temperature indoors all, you know, all the time, day and night.
Yeah.
It's a thermal mass.
Mm-hmm. It's a solid mass because it's a liquid, so.
But either way, there is a solution to everything, man. So, you know, like I say, if the government wants to send that security guard dropout over there to tell you you can't have something in your yard, you know, hide it.
That's the civil disobedience. You're just basically saying, practice discretion while practicing civil disobedience.
Yeah, that way they can't say nothing. You know, out of sight, out of mind. You know, I'm gathering rainwater whether they like it or not. It was given.
Like I said, you can claim exempt on your taxes and then just don't blow your taxes. You can put it in a bank account so you have it at the end of the year, or you can invest it in a home business. And if the tax man does come a knock and you've got your money either in the bank account or you've got if your business fails, you've got a big fat tax write-off that's actually going to get you a credit.
Yeah, but the only problem with that I see around here is their interest rates suck, man. If you borrow a dollar from the government and you don't pay it for like a year, you owe $10 million. And they got this IRS guy that's got this like really huge foot on one side. He kind of walks crooked and he comes up here with a giant boot and, you know, works you over and stuff, you know. So you got to watch out for the IRS.
The issue, though, with that is that the chances of that guy with that heavy boot ever show up, you have a better chance of winning the lottery without actually ever buying a ticket.
Well,
they go after corporations and whatnot because that guy with that boot costs an awful lot of money. So if he's coming around your house looking for $5,000, they're spending $50,000 to get him to come and get it.
Yeah, that's trust another me, ridiculous thing.
Because they persecuted me for years, and I was a poor guy. The IRS persecuted me for 7 years or more.
Did somebody try to get you into trouble by contacting them?
No, I was basically.
I know over 300 people that have been practicing that same process. Not, you know, as like a disobedience thing, just because they want to keep the money for themselves, and they've never had anyone contact them.
Well, they owed me money. That was the thing, and they turned it around and said that's what I owed them, and they did that for 7 years.
Well, they're trying to keep from paying you then.
They charged me $13,000 for a $1,500 loan.
In the end, they paid. But it was only because I had a friend that was a super lawyer.
Da-da-da-da. Super Jew.
And if it wasn't for that, you know,
man. Sorry, not you, Terry. Yeah, that Jonathan, no.
Not with you.
No, not racist.
Right
along.
And
good lord.
All right. So anyway, you know, the whole tax system, the whole ignorance of the red tape that you got to go through. There's the average Joe's out there suffering while the man's up there eating caviar and steak tartare. What I think they need is they need to have a Christmas tree full of ants delivered to them and some butter sandwiches for dinner. You know, that way they can see what it's like being down here getting taxed to death just to breathe, man. You know, it's my belief that God gifted us the sun and the air and the flowers and the plants and the trees, and so it ain't theirs to tax, period. So, if I want to throw a solar panel up...
We have to deconstruct that. These people, you're talking about them seeing what it's like to be down there, they don't care. They know what it's like and they don't care. These are the sort of people that can literally watch their mother being eaten by wild animals, and it would have no effect on them at all. They'd just turn around and walk away. The only reason they would shed a tear is if somebody saw them and they were, you know, on a campaign where they had to basically look human.
Well, they must be soulless creatures.
They're literally lizards in you know, mammalian flesh.
They've lost their humanity.
No, they didn't lose it. They never had it. These are people that are born with their brain broken, and they can't feel empathy. They don't have the emotions like normal people.
Well,
we're just born into a
system that creates that sort of individual with programming and so on and so forth. But they can be undone.
You believe that, they will use that against you.
Well, I would say the easier job is going back to the whole, like, Knights of the Round Table styles. We build this giant catapult with all of our mechanical knowledge and just fling them all to Mars or something like that. What do you guys think?
We just need to recognize them for what they are and start not letting, basically, you know, teach people not to fall for their tricks.
We can't fling them to Mars?
Don't let them manipulate us.
If we had access to free energy, then it would free humanity from the money system, period.
We do have access to free energy, but the technology, and I don't know, I keep saying it's been suppressed, but people argue with me till they're blue in the face, you know, what's being suppressed? Well, take a look at your doggone cell phone. You know, if you got that cell phone in your hand, and you know all the amazing capabilities, I mean, they can track you down to inches of where you stand with that cell phone. And so that's amazing technology going on. So with that said, if you have this in your hand, and you're working, Joe, and you're out there doing what it is that you do on a daily basis, and you have this amazing technology in your hand, you can imagine what the guy with the fat wallet has in his hand. All right, he's probably got the remote control to turn your power off if he looks on the computer and it didn't pay your bill. So he pushes that button and your lights go down, you know. And then you call him up and beg and plead, please turn my lights on. My kids are hot and I need to keep the what little groceries we got good in the refrigerator. They don't care. They'll tell you. They will not turn it on until you pay not only the bill that you owe, but a $700 deposit or maybe worse before they'll even turn you back on.
And a reconnect fee.
Yeah. The guy come out there one time and shut my meter off. He pulled it out, plugged it back in, and charged me $500. And I'm saying, what in the heck? You know, I mean, I'm on my computer when the guy pulled the dang power. Well, we had to check to see if you were stealing electricity. I'm stealing no electricity. You know, but either way, cost me $500. And that was just for a split second. I'm going to pull your meter out and push it back in the reconnect fee and all that kind of stuff.
I'm going to check out if you're dishonest and charge you for that privilege. No, if you want to find that out, you come and do it and you foot the bill, buddy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't my choice for him to pull my meter out.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be like the police coming around and questioning you about a crime that you had nothing to do with and then charging you for their wages.
It's just nuts, man. But either way, we don't have to tolerate that stuff.
These are the same people, though, that are basically, they're building roads with our tax dollars and saying we should be grateful for doing it. And that's basically the equivalent of a kidnapper kidnapping you, tying you up in a basement, and feeding you, and then expecting you to be grateful for the food.
Yeah, charging you for the meal.
Yeah, like, no, you kidnapped me. I don't owe you anything for anything you've given me while I'm down here. I'm down here against my will. I didn't want to be down here.
Yeah, but when you talked about paving the road, see, now they go out there and they're going to pave the road, right? But they're going to have five guys out there to pave that road, one of which is going to be using a shovel. The rest of them will be standing around having a union smoke break. And so it cost them
it's not even a union smoke break at this point. It's just so blatant, it's not even funny. It's government money, you know, $250 for a hammer.
Yeah.
Where's that other $225 going? Because that's like, you know, not even a $25 hammer.
Send the average Joe to Walmart to buy some crappy hammers from China and save some bucks, man. I mean, come on.
Or better yet, Obama, how about you go ahead and fire that person that's walking your dog and brushing your dog and feeding your dog and save the taxpayers $100,000 a year, and you do that.
Yeah.
It's your dog, take care of him.
I bet that dog has a security detail, man.
Give him to somebody who will care about him and take care of him, you know?
Yeah.
I bet that dog has a security detail. I bet he's got some Secret Service guys hiding in the bush watching for him.
You've got somebody that collects $100,000 a year that sits there to push the button for the DVD player in case they want it 24 hours a day, in case they want to get up in the middle of the night and watch a movie.
Man.
You know,
and meanwhile, you're still trying to negotiate getting your lights turned back on by the power company.
Well, and I guarantee you, when the government was shutting down, those people were still working.
Well, they still got paid. Heck yeah, they got paid. Yep. They were probably down at the casino spending some tax dollars. Say, hey, it ain't my money, so why do I care if I lose it?
No, I'm talking about I'm talking about the people that were working for the, you know, for Obama and getting paid all that money.
Yeah.
He didn't cut that off and stop paying those people.
No.
But we're not allowed to go in, you know, a national park that doesn't even need somebody there anyway.
But they'll pay somebody to put up barricades to keep people out when they close down a deal that they couldn't afford to keep open. You know, keep the veterans out of the deal.
And somebody with a jackboot to come around and kick you in the head for going in there and hit you with a nightstick.
Yeah. That guy with the jackboot and the nightstick, he ought to be, run out of town on a rail for treason, man. You know, I try not to say what they really do for treason because I'm not into violence to, you know, doing nobody in. But think about
it. The thing is, God, I can't remember the name of the treason in Spaceballs. The guy that was basically charging for air, canned air. Everybody, you know, thought that Mel Brooks was making, you know, that this was all just a big joke. But the fact is, his joke was that, hey, this is real. This is actually going on. As absurd as it sounds, this is what these people are up to, you know.
Well, yeah.
If they could charge us for fresh air by spoiling all the air that's free, they'll do it. Spoil the water so you can't basically have it, and then turn around and charge you for bottled water, you know?
Look into how many oil millionaires have shifted from oil to water and going out buying land that has water
blue
tables on it.
Gold. Just look up blue gold.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're calling it. They're buying aquifers and whatnot, and, you know, then basically charging people to have access to it.
So if you got a sinkhole popping up in your yard, chances are it's the guy down the street with the giant well over there sucking the water table out from underneath your yard.
You know, how can you have treason against the United States? We're not royalty.
Treason? That's because they took an oath of office. They said that they were sworn to uphold and serve and protect the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And I don't know how it's read in other countries, but anytime somebody swears an oath and says that they're going to protect your rights, and then as soon as they strap that big old giant 75-pound badge on their chest and their head swells up the size of a hot air balloon, and they get out there and think they're God and they're no longer acting as a peace officer, now they're acting as a armed revenue generator for the state. That's what I'm talking about. That's treason, because they sat there and
they swore
to the people.
They're applying both economic and you know, physical terrorism against people.
A story just came out where
it's a monopoly.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a monopoly of basically the, you know, like basically they make all these rules, but the rules only apply to the cattle. They don't apply to the farmer, which are basically the way they see themselves.
Well,
they're nothing more than their product.
A story just came out where they put 277 rounds of ammunition. That was a generous account of how many bullets were actually fired into two unarmed individuals, one of which was caught on camera doing an armed robbery, who probably should have been captured, but not in the method. It was a Bonnie and Clyde scene is what it ended up being. The other passenger in the car had nothing to do with it. Neither one of them was armed at the time. But they unloaded 277 rounds of ammunition into this car and hit two officers in the process, one in the arm and one grazed his head, another officer's head. The other stray bullets went around and hit other cars, and people were running for their life while all these officers were standing around pumping 277 rounds of ammunition into a parked vehicle to get these two suspects out of the car. And basically executed them on the spot. So, with that said, following the normal police protocol, unless you see a gun pointed in your face, unless there is imminent danger and you have to defend yourself, you shouldn't be firing at all, let alone being firing a whole bunch of ammunition in random directions and even hitting your own people while you're firing it. And then when it was all said and done, the officers were caught on tape laughing about it. All right? What kind of people do we have with badges and uniforms and guns strapped to their hip? The average Joe can't have a gun strapped to their hip, because even though the Constitution says the Second Amendment shall not be infringed, it's still being infringed. It's infringed so much it ain't even funny how much they infringe it. It's so infringed it looks like one of them doggone lowrider cars with all the little fuzzy balls around the edge of them.
Most of those officers have about 80 IQs.
Americans, and that's the type of individuals they look for.
Well, these guys out here,
imperious individuals with 80 IQs.
When they took the oath, they said they were going to serve and protect and uphold the Constitution. I can get the oath for you. I can show you the oath.
Well, all of their training demonizes the Constitution, the Founding Fathers,
yeah,
and so forth.
Yeah, exactly. And they're trained on silhouettes, black silhouettes, so they can get used to desensitized to firing. And when they're told to fire, the standard procedure is that if you're trying to take a man down, you empty your magazine into that man to create as much and as fast blood loss as you possibly can, so that all the blood rushes away from his head and he drops. And so,
well, now they fire into targets that look like men, women, and children. With, you know, the men have John Deere hats on. There's pregnant women and children.
That's sickening, man. That's sickening. And this is the world that we find ourselves in. And the only ones that can fix it, folks, is us. You know, you got to get away from that beast that's eating us alive. That's all there is to it. Anybody disagree with that?
Not at all.
You know, the whole thing is, though, these guys, they swore an oath to serve and protect, and it used to actually say on the side of police vehicles that to serve and protect. Now, it isn't nothing about serve and protect. It's armed revenue generators for the state, you know, basically a paid gang that goes out there and
that's it.
It's
a sanctioned gang. They have the right to be a gang, but no one else does.
Yeah, but you want to defend
the law.
You want to defend your
monopoly of basically being able to sidestep all laws, because the laws are only there for the citizens to follow, so they can make money off of us.
Yeah, you want to defend your family against. You want to defend your family against somebody breaking into your house. First, you got to look at the laws in your local community, because it might say that you have to try everything under the sun to escape your own house, let alone protecting your own house, to get all your family safely out of the house while this intruder is in your house. Because if you shoot this guy without trying to get away first, then you could be going to jail for murder. There's something wrong with that. A burglar breaks into your house, and as he's sneaking down the stairs, he trips over one of your kid's toys, breaks his leg, then he goes to your insurance company and sues you for breaking his leg because you shouldn't have had that toy on your stairs while he was burglarizing your house, because his union rules say he's protected. Something's wrong with that picture.
We're all fully aware of the problems. What are the solutions?
The solution is bunker your house down, man.
Stop feeding this beast. We need to find ways around not using the things that they're basically getting their money from.
Make
and
it.
That includes using the oil that they're basically pumping out of the ground and then selling to
exactly.
us.
Yeah, if you stop feeding the beast, though, the beast goes hungry and looks for food.
Yeah, well,
until it starves to death. You just have to be out of sight until it starves to death, and they can't look everywhere at once.
Then you put a 700-foot Tesla coil on your front lawn, and you put a big old giant billboard sign that says, "Back off, because if you come in my yard, I'm hitting the button." All right, and that'll light some hairs up, brother.
Don't worry. You put a Tesla coil in your front lawn. If it's anything like up here, they'll think that you got a bomb going off. And it's actually pretty apparent.
Well, then underneath the sign that says "back off," put another little sign down there that says "come over and get it."
And then they'll be like, "We got Tesla terrorists out here."
Yeah, they'll have a drone strike on your Tesla coil. Wouldn't that suck?
All that hard work.
Try it, man. Try it. Try it. I bet it'd fall out of the sky about 6 feet away from it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We'll like that.
Try it.
Depends on how
they'll release a missile from way far away from that, so.
Well, we can put a big enough EMP around that Tesla coil to shut that brain down, and it'll fly off in some other direction.
Just so you're aware, messing with EMP technology falls into the realm of the FCC, and they're kind of a little scarier than even the gun control part of government.
I've got stories about that are really funny.
I agree, but surely they can read the back off sign as well, right?
Yeah. You know what she says? I'd like for everybody to talk about, not me, just talk about, you know, what we're, you know, I know he's always testing and doing stuff. Terry's always doing stuff. You know, I just want to see what everybody's been doing. Like, when they do get in the lab and we all stop talking, you know? So.
Well,
and doing. So what have you been doing besides the radio shows?
Whenever I'm out in my lab, most generally I'm working on my plasma technology, which is getting pretty cool. But, you know, I do a lot of different projects. I got so many projects going on, it's crazy. Too many irons in the fire. You know, I did that smoker video yesterday, and I found a design flaw in it where the bottom tank on there is too far away from the fire. And so I need to run a pipe down in the back half of the stove and put the actual gasifier tank down inside the where the coals are going to be, so that it'll stay hot and continue to smoke. So, you know, I got to work on that and do a second updated video. Also, I figured out, you know, I'm going to have to make sure that whenever I use that tank, before I ever do any cooking, if you make a homemade stove out of, even if it's a barrel or an old hot water tank, you want to make sure you burn it out first, you know, any impurities. You get really hot inside there and burn the inside out, clean it all out good, you know, wash it out. Then that way you ain't got nothing dropping down on your food when you're cooking it or whatever. But the propane tanks that I talked about using has a paint coating on it that needs to be burned off as well and cleaned down before you go to use it to do any cooking. It does work, but I had to raise the fire up in the things to pretty extreme that you wouldn't be smoking inside there at the same time. And that's the key. I want to be able to do both at the same time. And it created wood gas, which I didn't realize how powerful that wood gas is, but whenever I built up some wood gas and I hit it with the torch, man, it was like a jet engine coming up out of there. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, they run cars off of that. So
check it out again, Shazis.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. Well, let me see what I got then. Alright, well, it looks like we're going to go to another quick song break. And so, everybody, stay tuned. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. Is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women more boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the Western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine.
who was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Read the Gazette to catch up on the news. Some classified adverts I chanced to peruse when I saw a category called steampunk. I turned to it eagerly but left in a funk, for I quite enjoy the steampunk aesthetic, but what I beheld there was rather pathetic. These intrepid online auctioneers are just taking modern objects and stuck on some gears.
It's simply not cricket, it shouldn't be done,
but it's clear how their thoughts had run.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
But it got even worse than that, I'm afraid, and as I went on I became more dismayed, for they often didn't modify the things they wanted me to buy.
Heavens to Betsy, I'll end up on regretting.
Steampunk is more than a mere mode of dress or decoration, so it brings me some distress to see a metal cicada described with that name, or a teacup, a mood ring, a silver gilt frame. Gluing on gears at least takes effort. This is slow for the worst.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Steampunk refers to a type of science fiction about alternate past, not future prediction. Often set in Victorian Britain, but the history of technology has been rewritten. So put a bit of thought into your designs. Use leather and brass, 19th century lines. Retrofuturistic is a good explanation. Blend antique reality with imagination. But calling things steampunk to try to sound cool makes you look like a bloody fool.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Gauges and rivets, copper tubing and glass lend a steampunk creation a real touch of class. Gears are appropriate to introduce if they look like they have a legitimate use. Although Nixie tubes are undeniably splendid, they date from long after the age of steam ended. Pity really, I just love Nixie tubes. Anyway, I hope you've comprehended. So use the word steampunk correctly, old chap, and don't use it to refer to crap.
Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Oh, we know it.
game is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Can you read?
the terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. So King Shaziz the Terrible and my on-the-record record shows that there is no off-the-record record, so make a record of that. So with that said, that specific song that I just played, Deep Purple, Perfect Stranger, ain't no reason why we should be strangers at all, because we have this amazing technology that can bring all these brilliant minds to the table for all kinds of different discussions, you know. Hey, sometimes we go down the crazy road, but then again, you know, it's the thinking outside the box thing that makes that crazy less than crazy when we actually start seeing results, which I believe that the research that we're doing out here will produce results. And so with that said, which one of you guys was talking about going around the table there? I think it was Ryan, wasn't it?
Yeah. So whoever wants to go next, go on.
Yeah, I was talking to the guys, this is Dublin, to say that I did a bit of research on a guy who would be the guru in climate change, a guy called Lovelock. I don't know if you've ever heard of him yourself, Kelly, have you?
No, I ain't heard of him, but the name sounds like something out of a movie.
he basically was... He wrote a book called Gaia, which postulates the idea that the Earth is a living being, you know, like Mother Earth and all this mumbo jumbo. And this book became very popular in about the 70s. I read it in the 70s. And the first half of the book wasn't too bad. I mean, fair. In the 70s, they didn't know an awful lot about the climate. And they had all the graphs and all the, you know, would the sun reflect the light back into space, or would the clouds trap the sun, you know, heat and all that kind of mumbo jumbo. And then the second half of the book went into all this kind of weird, wonderful stuff that the Earth was some sort of living being. And so basically, I decided that this guy's a nut job, you know, I mean, like, you know, the Earth is a rock and that's it, end of story.
To some people,
then other people, you know, there are other, like Shaziz always says, we're open to everybody's ideas. And
that's the school of thought I come from, that there's living life on top of the planet, but if all living life died off, well, all that would happen is there'd be just another rock going around space.
Basically says that, you know, a piece of glass is just, or I mean, a piece of sand is just a piece of sand, and you can't do nothing with a piece of sand but make a beach with it. Yet we're making circuits and whatnot, and basically making artificial life.
Well, the sun is
well, anyway, that's with it.
So,
yeah. What Tesla said about silicone.
Right.
The crystals are alive.
Let me say this real quick, I think y'all agree, but because I want to make sure Dublin gets a chance to finish what he was saying, but to some extent, I agree with the Earth being a living entity, but it's amazing piece of machinery of epic proportions. It's a thermoelectric generator of unbelievable proportions, and it is a self-generating, self-contained biosphere. And, you know, when people talk about how man is destroying it, that's where I get into the portion where, you know, if you disrupt nature will shake you off like a bad set of fleas. No ifs, ands, or buts. And we've seen that. And, you know, it goes back to the old pissing in the fishbowl thing, you know. Anyway, finish what you were saying.
Okay, that school of thought would be if you're Christian, the logic's very simple. God made the earth, and then God made nature, and therefore everything comes from what God designed. Now, others would say that the Mother Earth is the God, you know what I mean? Which I wouldn't go along with, being of Christian, logic. But anyway, the thing about this guy is that he's always postulating doom and gloom, and, I mean, he came on the local radio station in 2010, and he was saying, oh, the Earth can barely supply 10 billion people. That's like 7 billion people. Well, I've done my research, and we're already growing enough grain and wheats and various other things to feed at least 10 billion people. And half the land in America and Europe is put out of production. The government pays them to grow nothing. So we've got plenty of excess production to go. There's no food shortage. And the guy was giving a lecture in the university, so I thought I'd go along and take a look at it. And in the lecture, he basically said that what happened was his first professor, when he wrote the idea that the Earth is a living being and all this sort of nonsense, his first professor failed him. End of story. You know, he just said, this is tripe and that's what it is. But he wasn't deterred, because in Britain, what happens is the most universities are run by the British Royal Family Charter. And Prince Charles happens to like to talk to trees. And Prince Charles believes that trees talk back to him. And so, of course, when he heard this idea, when he heard this idea that the Earth would be some sort of goddess or mother goddess or this gobbledygook, he took to it like a fish to water. And so the other professors were told to reverse the fail and make him kind of a top guru of climate change and all this nonsense. And that's where he comes from. And he more or less explained that in the lecture. So clearly what he did was he circumvented all proper science to put forward this cockamamie theory that he dreamt up. And bullshit his way ever since the 1970s. Right, sorry.
What's the language there?
Yeah, whatever, since the 1970s. And that's basically the full story. So you're up to speed on who Lovelock is. The interesting thing is, about a year ago he came on and he said, oh, there's no point in trying to stop, you know, reducing carbon dioxide. It's too late. We might as well try and do things like build higher dikes, because, you know, the water levels will get higher and, you know, we'll all be flooded. So, you know, give up on curtailing carbon dioxide. But he won't admit, basically, that he's into pseudoscience. But in Britain, if you ask most British, they'll say he's the greatest thing since sliced cheese. Great scientist, you know. So you're up to speed on who he is. Okay, guys?
Well, those guys ignore science such as, you know, like solar activity, lunar activity, which all have a mechanical effect on how this Earth actually functions. So, you know, when they're talking about the planet heating up, they're not mentioning the fact that we're in an elliptical orbit with the sun, which means we don't go in a perfect circle. Every so often, we get a hair closer to the sun than we normally do. Never close enough to burn up, but close enough that it changes our weather from top to bottom. And when you have a moon, which is also an elliptical orbit, that's why one day you go out and you see the moon, it looks like it's real big in the sky, and the next you see that it looks like it's way out there, is because it's in an elliptical orbit. Well, as that moon is orbiting around us, it's also creating friction, which in turn is creating heat, because it literally creates a bulge at the equator that causes our tidal activity and our seismic activity. You add all these things in conjunction with one another, and you're going to get crazy weather patterns. I did a video quite some time back, and I tried to explain to people this particular deal. But, you know, the science of the whole carbon dioxide and all that kind of stuff, you know, causing climate change, or methane causing climate change. You know, before man got into the industrial age, there were tons and tons and tons of buffaloes roaming the plains. You know, we should have been a super hot planet by then, according to their calculations and all that, but that wasn't the case. You know, but either way, you know, you could argue that till you're blue in the face. As far as Mother Earth being God or anything like that, you ain't going to get me to worship God. I'm not going to discourage anybody if that's their own personal belief to believe that Earth is God. What I do believe, though, is that we have a symbiotic relationship with the Earth, and if we don't take care of the Earth to our best capabilities, it's like pissing in the fishbowl. You know, when you have a goldfish in a bowl, if there isn't some outside influence checking that water every once in a while to see the alkaline inside that water isn't getting too high, then eventually that water will become so acidic that it will burn the gills in the fish, and the fish can't breathe and then dies, and you got to flush old Sparky down the next you know, commode and take your hat off for a moment of silence kind of thing. But in the meantime, you know, in our local environments, everywhere we're at, we got to clean up our systems because they're making everybody sick. You know, we got to stop putting poison in people's toothpaste and food and all that kind of stuff. But it's going to take each and every one of us doing the research that we do, sharing it freely amongst each other, and spreading the word to do it the right way. Otherwise, we're just going to keep going in circles. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Here's one for you that I use whenever this argument comes up. In the 70s or the 60s even, they were putting satellites into space, and they started looking at the amount of energy that was reflected back from the Earth. Now, logic would dictate if the Earth was warming up from carbon dioxide, less energy will be reflected back from the Earth. And yet, the satellites are consistently showing there has been no change since the 70s. So, therefore, there is not extra heat being trapped on the Earth. There's the same amount of heat exiting as there was in the 70s.
Yeah, and in the interest of time, so we don't...
instruments are quite accurate.
We don't cut everybody short of what they tell them about what their projects are. You know, the science isn't resolved. The debate is not over. And, we're just going to have to, use common sense and fix it ourselves. So, with that said, thanks for that, Dublin. And who's going next there?
Terry goes.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, that would line up good, too. You know, either one.
I was just going to go because I got to go, do the Mother's
Day
thing.
Do it.
Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. And there's silence in the room because none of you are mothers. I realize this. But hopefully there's one out there somewhere.
Oh, there's plenty of mothers out there, and they're all wonderful ladies.
what have you been working on?
Well, a bunch of things, but the thing I've been working on the most lately is basically... all of your electronics give off electrostatics. Any type of induction process that happens, there's a small amount of electrostatic buildup that's discharged through ground on all electronics. And, most electrical engineers will see it as noise or waste energy, or not waste energy, but, a bad...
It's destructive, too.
Yeah. Destructive and interference, right. So I was fortunate enough to discover, doing a Joule Thief experiment a long time ago, that my outlets in my garage are not properly grounded. So I decided, why not try to capture that or reuse it and utilize it? So I set up a dedicated earth ground, and started playing with that and set up a circuit that will actually use it to power some LEDs right now, and it's like a 50 volt AC potential, but it's the current is extremely low. So that's pretty much what I've been working on, and amongst some other things, I have a fusion reactor.
That gives me an idea.
I got excited about.
That gives me an idea for something that should probably I should probably test. I've got some grounds that. Ground rods close to my house. I need to take some more ground rods identical and put them as far away from the house as I can possibly get and see what kind of results, because that two magnetic fields can couple and the stronger one's going to win out, obviously. But if I get it further away from the house and I'm getting more voltage, then there's something to be said there. What do you think?
That's a good idea too.
Yeah. I agree.
Because you're creating more potential difference between the actual magnetic fields where they're at.
Yeah.
That's a good thought.
So anyway, who's next?
Terry.
Terry, where you at?
Well, I'm here. Can you hear me good?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, when I go down into my mad science lab, I just let things, my imagination just sort of takes over sometimes, and I see things lying around, and I just surf the wave of possibilities, and I allow things to happen that may not normally happen with, like I've been playing with a static generator, and I found a way to run a small Tesla coil with it through the air. Nothing's wired to anything other than the air itself, which even myself gets charged up sometimes when you touch the earth ground. You get shocked pretty good. It's just like walking across the carpet and touching the doorknob kind of thing.
Yeah,
but that, you can actually run a Tesla coil with that and light up fluorescent light bulbs.
We're walking really in a sea of energy, and I like the way you think, because I'm a kind of out of a boxer mad scientist. Not out of my boxers, but out of the box. If they say it can't be done, then I try to figure out a way that it can be done, because I don't believe anybody when they say something can't be done. I believe everything's possible.
I take that as a challenge.
Yeah.
When they say it's impossible,
always told me that if you can imagine it, it's 99% reality.
Well, there you go.
Even Bill Nye said, you know, nothing's it's only impossible if you think you can't do it.
It's reality. It's
or
like you know.
Like that.
But go ahead, Terry. Keep going. Man.
Well, I just want to say that it's really good to have a group of guys that are coming together to share their knowledge and experience. That's amazing.
Well, bring your friends, brother. Bring anybody you find of like mind, because that's the whole deal. We get all these brilliant minds together, we will solve the problems of the so-called energy crisis of the world, which each and every one of us, I'm sure, will agree. There is no energy crisis. It's just a lack of knowledge, and people ain't putting it together, you know. It's like a 500-piece puzzle, you know. Slam that puzzle on the ground a million times and see how long it takes you for that puzzle to land exactly where it needs. All right, now you put all these brilliant minds together, these are thinking pieces of the puzzle that come together and fill in those gaps, and we take all these anomalies from the so-called laws of physics, and we actually show and prove once and for all, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that free energy is possible. I mean, you, yourself, you grab a hold of a voltmeter. You got to put it in the millivolt range, but you see, there is energy coming out of your fingers, you know? And I've actually done experiments that sometimes where you're sitting there holding it, you can think and you can get those numbers to go up higher or lower depending on what it is you're thinking. Now, you know, maybe that's because your brain's working overtime and either draining off energy that's coming to your fingers or actually drawing in more energy, vice versa, whichever the way, but there is an anomaly there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've worked where people have huge transmitters, you know, the TV stations and the huge radio transmitters. You know, they have to have AC units there to keep them cool, and that's why I'm there, because I fix them. But they've told me stories about energy that is the enemy to their equipment that they're always fighting. So they have huge copper ribbons running across the floor, everything's earth-grounded. The base of the tower, everything is earth grounded everywhere you look.
Well, easy example to that. Easy example to that is a static bag. When you buy your electronic circuits, they come in this static bag, because
the pink bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this free energy that's out there is the enemy to these places, and it even appears in a ghostly fashion in the form of an apparition that they describe as a blue field coming out of a rack of equipment that suddenly sucks back in, and weird things that they describe to me.
Well, I'll tell you what, nothing.
This free energy is the enemy. It's the enemy to all systems that's been created around us.
Nothing surprises me after what I've seen.
Yeah, that's unreal. I'd like to get that on film. The enemy. Jumping out of a big
blue plasma. I mean, it is a purple blue field that they describe. It looks like a ghostly
thing.
And it comes toward them. They back away from it, and they're sort of looking at it like in fear, and then it sucks back into the earth.
I think we lost Mitko.
Mitko, are you still there?
How can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
We can hear you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you're basically talking about the Hutchinson effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's all kinds. Man, I'm telling you, when you look at that man's research back in the day, a lot of people look at it with a crooked eye, you know, and say there might have been shenanigans going on in some of his videos. Maybe there was, maybe there wasn't. But I still believe in that technology because of things that I know from history. If you look at it's a Philadelphia project. I mean, it's actually documented. I mean, you can look it up. It's there. you know, how and what all to the extent of truth is in that deal. But you know that with frequencies, you can manipulate molecules. I mean, that's how the microwave oven works. So I don't want to waste anybody's time about going and explain that right out of the gate. Yeah. But, you know that certain frequencies can cause things to vibrate at such a rapid rate that they create friction, which in turn creates heat. So melting metal, I don't see any problem with melting metal. I don't see any problem with levitation. Russ from RWG Research, he used bismuth to do some magnetic levitation. I mean, you have literally an object that is floating in midair. So when you figure out the physics of all that and the anomalies that are involved with that, then you turn around, you figure out how to make that hovercraft that everybody is anxious to see. You see what I'm talking about?
The hovercraft that would put those five guys in that and that one guy with the shovel out of business?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, who's...
And I got a dog. I got a dog that can go out there and dig those holes for him, because he loves digging holes. And he worked for cheap. Anyway, who's next?
Who's here?
I'll go. I don't know exactly. Oh, hang on, stupid phone. I'll be right back.
Man, that makes for good radio.
I'll throw it myself in the mix. All right, so I'm working on the Atmo motor at the moment. That's my work. So, I won't go into much detail on that. I'd rather you go and read my write up on my website, which is cultus.weebly.com, KULTUS.WEEBLY.com.
Well,
there we go. And who else have we got? Well, that's it. We've been through everyone apart from Tom when he returns.
Wow.
I haven't said anything.
Go ahead, man.
You're right. Well, yeah. Sorry, buddy.
No, it's all good. I'm doing a lot of projects. Some are on the hush-hush, and some we can talk about. The one, my son actually has been bugging me. He wants to get on and talk about it, but I don't know where he's at now. Basically, we changed it up from just Tesla coils, and we decided we'd... go outside and start a garden and try to grow in a 100 square foot area the most food possible. I've gotten some comments from some really cool guys. If they're listening or any of these guys hear this later on, about using the fish and all the other stuff. She just said something to me when I first posted part one, having it all working together with the fish and what the fish create and this and that. Like I said, all that would be somewhat new. I've raised freshwater fish and I've grown gardens, but I've never stuck the two together. Awesome thing. Yeah.
According to my friend Steve from he was over. He's in. Doggone it! Where did he go now? He's down in Thailand now. But either way, tilapia is a fish that will grow fast and breed fast and produce a lot of fish that they use a lot in aquaponics systems. So if you get a chance to look up tilapia and the hydroponic or the aquaponic systems that they use, the fish actually help fertilize the plants, and the water is filtrated through the rocks and stuff at the top and goes back down. So... didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to point that out for you.
Oh, no. Yeah, the first time I ever saw it was on one of those National Geographic, a prepper show or something. I was just, in and out, and I happened to see it, and this guy had this little garden set, a little small little area, and he had his fish, and the fish, like you were saying, it was all one big circle and working good. Oh, yeah, we've been running a test. I'm having my children help me out with it, and I've been making videos, just to show how easy it is. And right now, just building a cage and putting seeds in the ground, it's not that. It's inspiring for some people, but wait a couple months, and you won't even be able to see through it. So it'll be, and the size and the amount of stuff in there, and then when we weigh it all, and the cool part about it, too, is I bought all these seeds. I spent about $30 on some seeds, and... But we almost have it all planted, and I only use half the seeds. So there you go. So you take the cost of what I paid. So $15 investment, throw some stuff together I've got in the yard, things that I've had for years, and I just want to prove a point. You know, everybody, even if they have a 5x5 area, they need to plant something, grow something. Because
it's like, you know, printing your own money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is growing. It's the money tree, kind of. You know, think about it. There's a different type of money
better
tree.
Than money.
Yeah.
Money,
yeah,
is you're growing food, life. Good.
Yeah, exactly. And what I want to do is I just want people to see how easy. I mean, even just a couple big pots with some dirt in it, you know, go buy one bag of dirt, you know, go get a pot, you know, get a couple seeds, you know, at least like grow your herbs and stuff. I mean, people need to be scared about eating berries from the grocery store. I don't want to scare people and stuff, but like blackberries and things with pores and stuff, man, they didn't wash everything out, and you can't get it out. You know, if you try to get it out, you're going to crush it.
With pesticides.
Yeah, and all this bad stuff. Like, my son, I asked him yesterday, and if you watch part three of the video, towards the middle, you know, I say to him, you know, what about the stuff in the grocery store, you know, and he makes his face, and I say something about pesticides, and, you know, you can tell, he already knows. He says, processed food, basically. Processed food and a face. So, you know, I feel like, heck, man, I get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kids that realize that, you know, some of the stuff they're buying from the grocery store, produce that they charge too much for to start with, they're charging us more to poison us. Kind of like in the beginning of this show today, we're talking about how, I think it was Thomas was talking about, like, a kidnapper. You know, they kidnapped you, they feed you, and then he said, you know, they want you to be happy. And, you know, the kidnapper wants you to pay for your meal. Yeah. Like, okay, you owe me two. You owe me. And you got to pay for this bed, too. And you got to look at it like, you know, seriously, the stuff we're putting in our body. Yeah, we hear things, and we're hit by all kinds of different media, this and that, and all this BS. But we are literally sticking that stuff, the food part, in our bodies. Now, we can block the sound and all this other crap coming in, but not when we start introducing something that is the same thing. And, you know, I'm just trying to get people. People need to grow their food. People need to grow inside their house and grow their food during the winter in their house off of these power supplies and power systems. That's the other part of my research. You know, I'm gonna make transformers that run better.
Well, while you're
longer, run forever. I'm gonna do things that are. You know, everybody's ideas, we're going to get everybody together. That's another one of my projects. You know, it's hard, like, she just talks about dropping the puzzle. How many times you can drop that puzzle? It's not going to get together. Somebody's got to go and grab all those pieces and put those pieces together.
Yep.
And, you know, what I see is it's more of a world. There's not a lot of us. This puzzle's not on a table. Imagine taking that puzzle and dropping it out of an airplane.
Yep.
Then trying to get that all those pieces that have spread out all over the place and get them all together. That is the challenge, and that's one of the things I'm working on too. And guys, I've done preaching. If people want to check me out, it's Abrams Lab on YouTube. I appreciate all the new people subscribing. That's awesome. I'll try to keep up with you. And Google Plus, man, everybody that's on there and following me and all the views, God bless you all. And it's all these guys I'm talking to. Without them, you and what I post of theirs and share, you guys wouldn't see it, and I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
So I agree. And two things on with what you were talking about was, you know, the first thing, the most important thing is the food. You know, get back to nature, the closest you can to natural water. The closest you get to natural food, the better you're going to feel. And on the other thing, while you're doing your Tesla technology, you ought to try to look into getting you a couple spectrum tubes with different types of inert gases in there, or some argon-filled tubes like I got, and introduce those when you start working with your deal, and watch the plasma reactions that you get out of these different coils. That's the kind of stuff that I'm working on, but I could go in deeper with that later. But we're running low on time. And so, has everybody had a chance to go around the table there, or what?
I just want to say something to them.
Yes.
Try to use the Tesla coil to stimulate the growth of the plants.
Yes, also, yes, Miko, that's what I was going to say. Also, stimulate the dirt, the nitrogen levels in the dirt.
Yeah.
I'm going to make that treadmill coil that Tesla did. You know, I've had a lot of people just kind of start laughing and say that's BS, but boy, we're going to figure it out, aren't we? So, like I said, it's a challenge, but yeah, stimulating it, I swear, who knows, but we're going to run a lot of tests on them, and we're going to have some really good food, and maybe some of the guys that are in the States, I probably can ship some of the food. Hey, we can give it away. What we do, really, a guy across the road, and I know we're running out of time, but I have a buddy, and I've known him for years. He grew up right near me. He grew up without running water. I didn't have running water until I was 12 years old. I lived in a house when I was young like that, without electricity, too, and I lived in America in the 80s, you know, so it's weird. But he kind of grew up that way, and he grows a garden that's epic in size, and basically just gives it away.
Yeah,
gives it away
deal.
And to everybody, man. I mean, I've got, you know, when a guy shows up with six 50-pound bags of potatoes, and he's like, here's some potatoes. I mean, it's unreal. And then I just give it away to everybody else, too, and I know where it's coming from, and I know there's nothing on it, and, you know, there's a lot of people out there trying to do this, but no one knows about them. And like I said, I'm trying to find all these people, get us all together, and then we can start we're all thinking, and then we start doing. So anyway, but
well,
sure,
I agree. And so with that said, guys, you've been listening to the Knights Roundtable, and it's my opinion that if the average Joe believes it's BS and the government's telling you it's not possible, that's what we're out to prove, that it is possible and that it isn't BS, that there are all kinds of alternatives out there. And to bring all these brilliant minds to the table from all different nations, all different corners of the globe and the states and such, you know, it's an amazing thing. Let's just keep bringing these folks together. We're going to get the virtual labs up and running. I know we keep saying that, but we're having a little troubles getting things together, and we will get that done, because it's all about solutions and enacting them solutions. And also, we've got other things in the works. There's so many different researchers out here, and they're working on all kinds of amazing things. And so, with that said, you can stay tuned. And if you believe what you're hearing, believe in what you're hearing, you know, if you like the companionship, the friendship, the family-like atmosphere that you get on Awake Radio and 1800 Online and Shake and Wake Radio and Shaziz Radio and No Borders Radio and We Roar Radio, and I could just go on and on, because people are waking up, they're coming together, they're not satisfied with the representation that they've been getting from around the world, and there's no better representative of yourself than yourself, and you can represent others by just the actions and the words that come out of your mouth and the things that you do, you know, the power of the spoken word, the power of the pen, the power of your actions, it is what defines you. And so with that said, that's what the Knights of the Round Table all stand for. And you are more than welcome to come sit down at this table. We listen to everybody's point of view, and that's the way it should be. So we're going to make this world a better place, one positive pebble at a time. And so with that said, thanks to all the Knights of the Round Table. Been an awesome show, and I'm looking forward to the next one. I can't remember what number we're on, but we're gaining on 100. And when 100 shows up, we got to have something good for that one. Anybody disagree?
No,
nah,
sure.
Yeah, nah.
All right, well,
I think we should try to get everyone in one place.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, heck yeah. Centralize somewhere and have
save up your Bickies boys and girls. We might be taking a road trip.
Have a big bonfire and some music and some fun and some mad science and
great.
Just enjoy life. So with that said, guys, we got to roll. Peace and love. We're going to run just a hair over, so I'm apologizing to the host after me. Yeah, we've been making a habit of this because we got so much to say. Sorry, guys. We'll make it up to you somehow. When we give you a free energy device that you don't have to pay an electric bill, I think you'll be pleased. All right, take care, buddy.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, good people. I am in haste.
Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king. Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony. Be quiet! But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Fulfills the terrible. All rise for the king. Fulfills the terrible and the knights of the round table.